Okay.
All right, we'll go ahead and call this to order. This is the school board's, we're having a visioning session, and Ms. Carrie Bartlett has been so kind to join us to facilitate a discussion. This will be a discussion centered around the upcoming superintendent search. I don't, Ms. Bartlett, I think you know everybody here.
I do.
You've been introduced, at least people you don't know. So
yep.
I'll go ahead and turn this over to you. I'm not sure how you want to handle this.
Okay.
But I'll let you lead it.
Okay.
Anytime you're ready for board input, it'll be your discussion.
You all will know that.
Okay.
Soon out of the box. So thank you for the opportunity to be here today. It's really exciting to be a very small part of a really important process here for our community and for the future of our community. We'll review the agenda. You all received that in advance. We're going to hopefully create an institutional vision. Where do you see the school district in the next 5 years? What are some of the outcomes that need to happen in the next 3 years in order to begin moving toward that vision? And then most importantly, spend some time thinking about the attributes, the skill sets needed by the next leader of the school, the superintendent, to ensure that those outcomes are achieved over the next 3 years. This is the single most important role I feel that any board, school board, nonprofit organization has, is recruiting the leadership, supporting that leadership once he or she are in place, and evaluating, assessing, and providing feedback on an ongoing basis to that leader. And so this is a huge responsibility that you all have that I don't need to tell you about. It is a tight timeline, not only for this meeting, but also for the search. And so you all need to be able to do this work efficiently and effectively, and that's what I hope we'll be able to help with today. The goal, I believe, and I'd like some feedback quickly, is a collective understanding. I think that's really important, that's a collective understanding of the attributes that indicate that the next school superintendent will most likely be able to guide a shared vision of exemplary performance, and then also serve as that model for inspired leadership. That's, you know, a huge role for that superintendent, is to be that model for inspired leadership. And clearly there is a correlation between the quality of the district leadership and the achievement of the district. And so it's, again, critically important to get the right person being that conductor, if you will, of the school district orchestra. Something that I think is we need to put on the table, that we all have our passions, we all have our areas of interest when it comes to the school, when it comes to the district superintendent, and we're all subjective about that. And what we need to try and do, I think, is pull that subjectivity back and really think as a collective body what is best for the school district, understanding and recognizing, acknowledging that there are some areas that are more important to each of you than to others. But again, at the end of the hour and a half, we want to walk away with that collective vision. Does that seem in line with what your understanding was as to what is to happen in the next hour and a half? Okay. My role is simply as a facilitator. You all will do the heavy lifting in the next hour and a half and beyond. I'm merely here to record, to ask questions, and hopefully to get you to look at it maybe a little bit differently. When we are going through our conversation, there may be topics or issues, opportunities that come up that don't necessarily relate directly to the work at hand. So I will ask that we put those on the parking lot for future discussion, for the school board to talk about. Maybe it's something to bring up with Dr. Adams or the candidate. I don't want to lose that, but we'll need to keep going. And I am a bit of a taskmaster. We've got a short time frame, so when I say we've got 15 minutes to discuss, we'll have 15 minutes to discuss. So we'll keep it going. Next item on the agenda, just to get us all thinking about the enormity of the work that you all have to do. I was thinking about what does bringing on a new superintendent mean to a school district. And I was wondering about whether you all feel that the school district at this point in time is on the threshold of opportunity. I'd love to know some, a yes or a no, and why do you feel that it is or is not at this point in time on standing on the threshold of opportunity. And I'll record some thoughts if you don't mind.
I'll go first.
Okay.
We have to be on a threshold of opportunity. Our superintendent's leaving. We have no other choice. So we have to turn this into an opportunity of not only finding a successor that is as good a leader, but we have the opportunity of finding somebody who maybe leads in a different way or leads just the same way, but is willing to take on the torch and continue. So, yes, we are on a threshold of opportunity because that's where we are. And to look at it any other way is negative.
Good. Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, no, we're obviously, you use the term threshold of opportunity. I mean, it's kind of a fancy term, but I mean, every day of your life is an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this, that's no different than this. I mean, it is an opportunity, like Dale says, that it has to be. I think our focus now is, what are we looking for in a leader to best fulfill that opportunity?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anybody else?
When I think of opportunity, I think we are going to be hiring someone that is going to have the opportunity of seeing the moonshot goal come to fruition. So someone is being set up, if all goes well, to lead to a successful conclusion to an initiative that our community supports. And I also see as an opportunity to lead at a time when there's so much uncertainty in education with the standards and the testing and the political environment of our state and of our county. So it is an opportunity to lead during tough times.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anyone else? Any other thoughts?
We are classified as a C district, so I hope that everybody sees that we've got an opportunity to go forward and not backwards. That's by state rating standards, not ours.
Anybody else?
Okay.
Add to this as we go along. All right. Agreeing that we're on threshold of opportunity, we want to look at in 5 years. I think that's about as far as out as we can go. That will take us to the moonshot moment and beyond. We'll be looking at the next big initiative and sustaining the moonshot moment perhaps at that point. You all have a vision, and Ms. Stang sent that document out to you. The vision of the school district is to educate and inspire every student to be successful, and the mission of the district is to serve all students with excellence. So that is the community vision. That's what you want to have happen out in the community, is to educate and inspire every student to be successful. But there's also an institutional vision. So what do you see the school district's long-term vision in order to work toward this aspirational goal of educating and inspiring every student to be successful? So what I'd like to ask you all to do is put your hat on that it's 2020, okay? 5 years from now, and talk about what the school district looks like in 2020, okay? What are the successes by then? What is this district, what is this community known for in the area of education from kindergarten to high school? What do people, when they think of Indian River County, what do they think of? And then, most importantly, what does that mean for those that you all serve? The students, their families, teachers, staff, employees. What does that mean? And I'd like to do two breakout groups. We're an odd number, but that's fine. We can do three and two. And for 15 minutes, talk about what you think that vision is in 5 years, where it has taken the school district by 2020. And then we'll...
Carrie, are you talking... I'm sorry to interrupt you. Are you talking about what you want to look like in 5 years, looking back?
Looking back, yes. Yes.
But that's
what that it has been a...
What the goal is in 5 years?
Right. Okay. Right. So what that big, hairy vision, big, hairy goal in 5 years, what does that look like? What are some of the successes because that has been achieved over 5 years? But think big. Think about it from, okay, it's 2020, and the school district has achieved 90% of its children reading on grade level, and over the past 2 years, we have improved that to 95%. I'm just pulling it out of the bucket. Does that make sense? Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay. This is hard to do. You know, usually you are planning toward something, but I have found it's really interesting to kind of switch the paradigm and start with you're there already. This is where you are. This is where you want to be. Now think about what it took to get you there. And that's the next step of the equation. Okay, so think about what you want it to look like in 2020. What is that big, hairy, audacious goal in 2020? And then the next 15 minutes, we'll talk about some of the things that have to happen in order to get you toward that on that road. So can we just split up into two groups? Maybe if the two ladies are on different groups and perhaps the two newest board members on different groups, and we just do three and two?
Okay.
Okay.
I can say, but since the three of us, I can tell you it's going to be 5 year running state football champion.
Okay, so split up. And we have 15 minutes for this exercise.
Okay. That then only one seat has to move.
Right.
And then I was going to say, I can get up. And
yeah, Suzanne will move with you.
Start writing down some of those vision statements on those post-it notes that are in front of you. And we're going, when we report, we'll report and put them on the
caucus.
Would you like that? One chair.
Yeah, that's good.
One chair move.
I like it.
Okay. So.
This is weird. It's interesting to be in the seats. I'm usually up there. Okay, so our vision statement, what it looks like
right.
In 2020. I'm not good.
Yeah.
Just so you know, my handwriting's terrible.
My hand's just as bad.
3 years of A district.
Well, I guess, because this is where we all may go, but I would imagine that everybody's supporting me.
I was wondering if this was the moonshot moment. Booster party. I mean, I support it.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Also.
CPA handwriting.
And it's only because I bring who I'm bringing, not from an education point of view, but you know, with all the funded mandates, our financial ability to not only, you know, I mean, they're telling us to be paying the highest in Treasure Coast by what a dollar.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's my feeling. I just feel that financially we should be, paying our leaders what they're worth. That they'll be able to achieve our vision, and we'll be able to reward them because we are fiscally. Because if we don't have a superintendent that's watching the penny, although I really trust Mr. Morrison,
right?
He'll wise up. The other thing is,
being born and raised,
but I'm gonna let you speak because I'll hog the whole time. But the other thing that I have a very big, strong feeling about that I've said prior meetings is, I'm not looking for anybody that is going to, you know, I hope we get a clear indication that not only have our leaders succeeded, but we've done such a good job that our leaders have stayed, that we have longevity in our leaders. And in 2020, when we see that, you know, in 2020, we could look back and still see the longevity of not only our leaders, but our personnel.
Right.
Because they're happy. and content.
Oh, yeah, the end of
so and there was an atmosphere.
That'd be like high retention.
High retention.
Narrowed by
yeah. And
10%
and
by
growth.
What would
and
be
growth.
That? Mm-hmm.
Okay. I agree.
Yeah, well, that's
if I had to sum it up like
in a moment, it's already there. So we're going to say, okay, I hope it's the new person. Well, we'll instruct the new person that we want that still in place,
right.
So we'll probably hopefully hire that. But and
is there
obviously
a standard
the education,
in the state that the achievement gap
I think
mirrors
you and
the
I go agree on technology.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to
quantify. You've read the Frost Plan. The T is teachers and technology.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Who spends?
Based on averages,
no.
I won't be asked.
Mine's it's still out there.
Statewide.
So you go to the website. That's what I value.
But what I'm saying is, so you know, I am very happy about. Mr. Green, where he's leading us, but I hope that
our technology is
our
about the year 2000.
Yeah, I know. I was that was the first thing I took a look, you know, in the
server room.
With that room.
Yeah.
If anything, we need a place to house that stuff. That's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
So now today we find out they put their plans up on digital, but what's coming?
Right.
Just going to move it to a safe house. But so maybe you have more input on that as far as the year 2000 technology.
Well,
how you know?
I think we would be a fully modern, innovative school district.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my vision.
Yeah. And we had some good reports of that today, too.
Right. We're not here to preserve a bureaucratic system. We're here to innovate and lead change. And you know, I would really like to see a healing between the charter community and the district, the central office, because it's getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're tracking everything that's going on, but it's not going well. See, this to me is an admission.
Well, and actually, you could. I would like
but
you to look at that.
Okay.
A healing between the charter schools, because their high rate of graduation and academics only improves in the school district's rating.
Right.
As Mr. Susie said, I know we're seeing. So hopefully we've achieved.
We have one A high school.
No.
And they're attacking it.
Yeah. So I think that write that down because it needs to be said.
Okay.
And since the two of us are engaged in this conversation, which can be as far as it goes, I know. But I'm going to say my piece. The other thing that I have, this is just bringing up a lot too, is I have gone to the campus. I have a lot more with the school resource, but I have gone to the senior teachers. And they're saying that the campus is, you know, it's amazing that we haven't had major things. I mean, I'm not talking about an outside shooter coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Just the, you know, like 1,900 kids on campus in Sebastian and over here when they said they had the power to close down. I have always, I know they're putting up safety, they're systematically going through, but I would like to see the campuses, you know, safety improved.
That would be.
But I guess we're not looking for what's improved. I could say
well,
I that I've
say safe
the campuses have been
safe
made
for
safe for 5 years. Yes, let's just change this thought.
Right, with a zero incident.
Yeah.
As a result of proactive behavior.
Yes.
Make sure that we keep the interest of
kids feel safe in our schools. Kids and parents feel
safe in our schools. And
halves are very important to this thing.
What do you
say in terms of
the moonshot?
Look to the financing.
Really, I don't feel a need to talk about the moonshot. That's a done deal. To me, that's a done deal. We have many outside agencies working on it. We're receptive to it. It's a work in progress, and hopefully we'll succeed. We'll just continue to support that, and that's an outcome. So, I mean, not to be mean, but I would make the assumption that we would all, especially since a lot of that functioning is being spearheaded by the Learning Alliance, that five of us are going to say, we're not going to get in the way of that.
Right.
And we don't want our new superintendent.
Right.
Done. Let's spend the time
so
on more.
So we take a first do no harm type approach.
Yeah. That's it. I think that's a good thing. Mm. Do no harm, not only with our changing our sub-leaders out, but changing our mission as is.
Yeah.
but
that's the executive board, or what do they call it?
Assistant,
cabinet.
Yeah.
I would call it a cabinet.
Call it a cabinet, but yeah, okay. And that
executive team.
Executive team. And so that then if we're going to go backwards and say it's after lunch. I don't get a sound. Healthy. We have, and I only got a salad, so I don't know why I'm acting like this. I don't know what the word is, but we have successfully retained all leadership, you know, which we had said, and just improved on our core items. Our biggest problem is, another thing that we have successfully fostered relationships with, which is part of the Moonshot Movement, but in a bigger we have
community partnerships.
Community partnerships fully integrated. Thank
fully
you. Put
integrated.
It in. Get right in it.
Fully infused in the community.
Reduced lunch is down 20% because the fraudulent applicants have been
found
out.
All right.
Don't get me going.
I do want to look into that more.
You gave me the crazy.
Not from your angle, but just like I want to understand how it works.
From your angle.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way.
No, I know.
Sorry.
You've clearly already done some research and have some opinions. I, on the other hand, am coming in and I want to
know. Michael
like,
Kors watches I keep seeing on those kids.
Yeah, my kids don't have phones, and yet, we're still not.
Teachers don't have phones, and the kids are walking around. So how about...
But we can't tell people how to spend their money.
No, that's true. But that means they have it. No.
Fair enough. I know. Education.
No, I thought of something else.
Teaching financial responsibility early on would be helpful.
Looking at it again and trying to figure out how we were so successful.
Okay.
It's all on you.
I want my hoverboard.
I was going to say, too, that we couldn't. We successfully lobbied the...
Marty McFly said, this is the year. This is 2015, so by 2020 I should have, like, the...
You should have one.
Gen 2 version.
You should have one.
Yeah. Not the Penguin. Generation 2. Sorry.
Well, what is that, 5 years from now? We may have to build another middle school.
What's that? Another middle school?
Isn't that like on the
cusp?
It is in the North County.
Right, near Felsmere.
I think by then we have begun plans for redistribution of student population.
That sounds programmatic.
Because it is on the growth.
Well, you're on MPO. I'm not.
No. Planning and zoning. But I've talked to Mr. Cardison, and that. And Scott Sanders, and that is, we're not there yet, but that's where it's going to be. And in 5 years, we might have at least began preliminary studies on the placement of a middle school.
You know what I would like to see in 5 years?
I don't want to see that, but that needs to be.
It speaks to this, and I've spoken with Ms. DiAgresta about this. I would like to not be under a desegregation order. I would like to have a community that no longer requires that.
Proving that was very hard, but
I want it to be a community that doesn't require it. You know, that we're not legally mandated to do the right things. We're just doing them.
Well, that's true, but because of the fluidness, it's very hard. Well, you would think that, but every time you. But you can put that down. Go ahead.
May I? Thank you.
Yeah, you get the pen.
Doing it on the thingamajigger.
No, that's only...
how we're going
to
get
there. Oh, they're supposed to be on the... Okay. I thought that was only for parking lot.
Let me write them down real quick. Oh, boy.
It's for Ollie's? Okay.
I got it.
I have to write with a pen. It can't disappear on me.
I'm sure you have much better. You do.
Penmanship. She has penmanship.
Yes. Much better penmanship.
We have 3 minutes.
I'm one of those high-energy, low-focus guys who doesn't have good handwriting.
High-energy, low-focus, is that what
you said? We have to have kept the same superintendent for 5 years. Not run one off.
Fran, I still sound like Tom Waterby Toad, believe me.
Please don't write that down.
Workplace violence?
Yeah, please don't write that down. You are being recorded.
Oh, I forgot that was recorded.
Nope.
I told her.
We have to have a balanced budget without dipping into any other reserves.
I'm almost done.
We could probably start.
I was going to say, how many do they have? How many do you have?
Volume. It's all about volume. I'm a volume puncher.
We're done.
Okay.
I think I got
three.
4, 5.
All right. So you've started working on an institutional vision. Now, in the same groups, before we report, using that vision, some of those vision statements that you have there, think about over the next 3 years, what are the key priorities that need to happen besides hiring a superintendent? That doesn't count. That would be a freebie. What needs to happen to show success working toward that 5-year vision? Okay, so key priority areas. Don't get in the weeds. Don't get into tactics. Get into priority areas that must happen to indicate you're moving in the right direction toward that 5-year vision.
They're kind of self-explanatory.
Not specific.
Not specific. Not leads, but priority areas, besides hiring the best school superintendent in the country. I get 15 minutes for this session.
So we're moving from vision to mission? Okay.
You're moving from vision to key priority areas that are going to help you achieve that vision in 5 years.
Okay.
Am I doing this right? On a separate thing?
Yep.
Underneath? So
yep.
Wouldn't that be that?
Keep our
wouldn't
top
that be
team
that?
Intact as much as possible. Right?
Wait a minute.
Would that be, or is that a tactic?
No, that's fine.
That's fine. Okay. No, that's okay.
Okay.
This year we're going to be here.
I like what you did there.
Is that right?
Yes. I like how you move some stuff from the other end.
There we go. Okay, so now I'm going to put in that real reason that we put that there. We were nice there. Now we're going to remove the DSAG order.
Well, that's a goal.
Well, that's the only way you're going to get that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're in, Rainbow Land.
No. I know we can go by the campfire, hug it out and sing Kumbaya, but I also think this speaks to like things like your Moonshot Moment where you have different nonprofit and philanthropic organizations and persons who partner with us, partner with the school district in order to make those things happen.
So that would be Cultivate.
We can't control exactly. So we can throw that out the one.
Did you say nonprofits? What did you say?
Cultivate relationships with nonprofit, NPO, NGO, and philanthropic individuals.
We're still going to beat them with two heads.
Oh, yeah.
The gauntlet is down.
I was going to say there's no competition.
I think none. And if there were, we would win it.
What else? What else?
But,
with one. And is this enough for here?
Two Marines.
Is this enough for here?
I think so. But I think if I had to like have an overarching theme, is that our schools become centers of peace and prosperity. Right?
All
right. So
can I put that there?
Sure.
So that would be your vision.
That would be part of the vision.
So then how do you
do that?
Two or three key indicators that you're moving in that direction the first 3 years.
Okay. So that would be graduation employment rates, reduced incidence of violence.
Well,
and the way we do that is through...
Wait a minute. Yeah, you can throw me off. We have our things. I thought we were going to answer them. Isn't
that
what?
You can change.
All right. So I'm going to take that off there and just do this.
Okay. That's fine. I'll pitch that program later.
Yeah, it's true, but... How about this? How about this? How are we going to do that?
Wow. First, do no harm.
Yeah, no. But where's the accountability? Well.
Move from a but to an end.
I know.
And.
Okay, all right. You know? Here we go.
Yeah.
Because we can't talk about it. So,
right.
That's bad. We have to do the rainbow version because we can't foreseeable action talk about.
Okay. What? Can't you do this
I thank you, but
no, you can talk about it.
Okay.
You can talk, this is
publicly public
noticed.
And
okay.
Now.
Then here we go.
Okay.
Then the possibility would be to have encourage a consortium of charter schools. So that we're dealing with, because that's the problem I see.
Oh, yeah?
See, this is the problem I see. They're fragmented amongst themselves.
Yeah.
So this one wants something, and that one wants something, and how, then we're going to have how many relationships?
Right.
That we should, but that's not my thing. I mean, that's the only thing is, if we were talking about, let's say we're talking about the capital outlay.
Mm-hmm.
So I got, I'm going to have
but
five
that's
different
an
schools.
That's thing over which we have very little control. Mm-hmm. We could encourage that.
Yeah.
And as community members, I don't know that would be a terrible idea to
yeah.
encourage. But as school board members, I think from our side of the house, keeping our side of the street clean.
So then how would we do that? How would we do that?
Well, we would not view them as the enemy is the first step. Don't
maybe
view
like
them
today,
as competition.
Maybe like today, we could have had personal invitations.
Yeah.
To tonight's
I mean, you could
meeting,
say the same thing
you know?
Of
and so then what
would it take us our union folks, that don't not set up these adversarial keys. Right, exactly. I prefer the term and a partner either in conflict, competition, or cooperation because it lets me remember one thing, PIC. So
does this cover it?
They become, they're your partner, they're your dance partner. Encourage
towards
personal relationships.
Towards partnerships.
Right, a collaborative approach. And sort of focus on the students and that we're all in the game of enriching.
All right, I got a little sticky. I got to write this.
I know.
Hold on.
But I mean, you're trying to boil down a big idea.
Well, we can talk.
A soundbite.
We can talk on the talking point.
Your parents right. complaining that they came to help their children with math because the way they're teaching math is so different, and how can I help my child?
Tanya, parent, math academies, Common Core Academy, have a couple places around the state. They started doing that.
What was the other word after partnerships? Towards partnerships and collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
This was financial security.
That's why we lose it.
So, to raise the bar for teachers' pay and begin to reward. How are we going to accomplish that?
Well,
cut spending in other ways.
Well, put a priority on classroom expenditures, you know, rather than administrative and overhead. That's just.
We could start boarding the kids here.
I don't know if this is. I mean, the problem with the outside world.
Where's a white noise generator when you need one?
The problem with the outside world is is that they don't understand. I mean,
well, they don't know the levers.
There is infrastructure. We have to keep infrastructure, and that does rob dollars.
Right.
But we may have to reprioritize. I mean, you can't always rob the dollars.
Well, I mean, we're, you know, as far as opportunity goes, the main purpose of the added millage was, I think, like 32 cents of it goes towards the technology requirements mandated via what is now called Florida Standards. So those won't be necessary in the future. They're already accustomed to a certain, not that I'm pro-tax, but if we could spend those monies on teachers now that we've got technology in place and on programs, to my mind, that would be a good use of
campus security and shame.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know if we want to specifically mention the voluntary voter. Because, I mean, if I were doing a SWAT, that would be on the threats.
So
it's also on my opportunity.
Look for a voluntary millage.
Well, yeah. Whoever our next superintendent, right, whoever our next superintendent is, will have to sell in the community either some form of voluntary, whether, you know, the continuation of or slight reduction or expansion or whatever is decided. Whomever is in that role will need to be the face and friendly face of. They'll need to be the. I mean, we'll be out there, but it'd be helpful if.
So then, experience high retention with executives and teachers who love it here. So then, it has to be.
But if we do that, then we're going to need a real
specifically
problem.
That
because those parents that want their child included
the new super, then we have to have a leader who's a spokes, who's an
excellent communicator.
There were issues this year at Beachman Elementary.
And I think I think having a comprehensive communications plan in place is also a move in the right direction.
But it is affecting
who speaks to what and when.
And unless you're willing to staff the classroom so that if you're doing inclusion,
so that we're sharing with the community all that
children, but what
we're doing. And I think the perception is that if you leave the perception to the public, they're going to pick up on the negative only, right? It'd be helpful if we had someone who's pushing the positive up in the community, too. There are many things happening at the district.
Look at it, say, maybe we need to change it and come up with a plan so nobody
what's increased
is
district
out of
grades
the circle. So everybody
go from a C to an A. I mean,
yeah,
definitely have to be an A district. I mean,
so would everybody, but how do you do it?
Do, yeah.
No voting over there.
How do we do that? No fair, they have a quorum.
Yeah, they're voting over there.
They have a block.
That's right. We don't count because we don't have a quorum.
This is not a voting meeting.
All right.
They cannot teach to both ends.
How do we do that? I think that's.
Well, I think that has to do with supplying the.
Well, giving them
the teachers and the schools with all their tools.
Right.
I get a lot of complaints that they don't have the tools. Some of the tools, yeah. This school thinks IB should have the textbooks, so they take the textbooks away from this one. I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
He went to every class.
That was just one example, I'm sorry.
Well, anytime there are resources being doled out, you're going to have differences of opinion.
Were able to
and good leaders will always
be able to
scrap for those
give him what he
resources.
And you know, not think that I was
they'll do their best to represent their people and get the resources that they need. So.
Give them what they need.
That's just human nature.
I
mean, how do we go from a C to an A? We do it by being fiscally stable, removing obstacles for leadership, opening up communication, spending smarter on teachers and technology.
There you go.
That's how I would do it. That's one fifth of an opinion.
Can I add three things on this?
Sure. So, what are they?
To accomplish
specifics.
It. Yeah.
Retina scanners.
Yeah. Not mulligans. But, high quality, secure fencing. I mean, I know we're working on that school by school, digital, you know. We don't have enough cameras.
Mm-hmm. So you feel more observation?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do I call that? Security cameras.
See, now I'm more of a liberty over security kind of guy.
I'd like to know who did the damage afterwards.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Well, yeah.
No, not that, I know that sounds like closing the barn door, but
right.
You can't have somebody do damage and then they're still trolling the halls to do more. Also, okay if I put resource, I know we're part of a team. Is it okay if I say sufficient resource officers?
Yeah, for sure. That's how I envision keeping our campuses safe, honestly, without as much fencing and stuff as like through community policing. I'm a big believer in community policing.
And then we, for our own good purposes,
when law enforcement officers are enmeshed in a community.
And I'm going to call it locks and door. I mean, like on labs, you don't want them to be able to get into labs and things like that. So I'm just putting that, because I think that campus security safety situation in 5 years is, they want to know how to do it. I just, at looking for somebody that supports that as well.
Are we about ready?
Mm-hmm.
Good,
Don. We're going to get them here, I'm telling you. We're going to get them here.
All right. So, thank you. We're going to take
this year, no food
who's going out of this group, who's going to be your reporter?
He's chair.
No.
Okay. So, come back and report on what some of your vision statements, vision ideas, whatever you want to
do. Do you mind? I'm going
to put them up on the flip chart.
I couldn't even write as quick as you were.
Oh,
here.
That's easy.
Yeah.
So then you can also add a little bit if I didn't put it down.
Yeah, that's the thing that made me some tape.
No, no.
At some point, you're going to actually speak.
Am I?
Yeah, we can't read.
Who can read that?
Stare de cesis. Right?
We can read the chicken scratch.
Okay, Matt,
it's, the decision stands for itself. Oh. It stands by itself.
Well, I could have done this sitting over yonder.
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 Preposition.
You mean under the table? No.
It's a prepositional phrasing.
Okay. And please, both my team members, jump in. Please. I think it would be more effective that way.
I'm not sure about that. I mean, after you say something.
We said we don't know what the state is going to be. We don't know what they're going to do in the next 5 years between now and 2020. We just know it's going to change 14 times between now and then. But however, it would help our community and help our district, help everybody if we were known as one of the outstanding school districts in the state. That's just easy. I mean, from people moving into town to the Chamber of Commerce, I mean, everything. So we put down that 5 years from now, we would have been, you know, two or three times an A district. That's what they're called now. Who knows what it's called? But we think it's important that we have a goal of maintaining that. We'd like to see, you know, things like, in terms of achievement, the moonshot moment. We'd like to say that not only has been attained, but it also, I wrote attainable, I meant sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
So the moonshot moment's not only been attained, but it's
sustainable going forward. We'd like to be known, it would be great if we were known as a district that had outstanding parental involvement. Then we spent the whole next time figuring out how that's impossible. But so Mr. Searcy wants to open up a buffet every time you open the door.
Game room.
We did think that's very important. Uh-huh. You'd love to be able to know
how
that's the hardest one, how you get there. We think we are right now. We'd like to be even more known for a district that where community involvement is widely recognized. Just think where we went back before Fran was here till now, you know, the amount of community involvement, the amount of private dollars that are coming in is absolutely remarkable. We'd like to think, in order to get there, that the decisions we're going to be making over the next few months is going to be good enough that the same superintendent's going to be here from now till 2020. Our finances, we want to maintain a strong fiscal outlook as we have now, with adequate reserves and minimal borrowing. That's going to keep our bond rating high. That's going to do it. Just we've seen, what a good financial, a good fiscal strategy, the benefits that it can have for you. It go trickle all the way down. And we'd like to see, be known as a district that's been a leader in narrowing that achievement gap. That's always been the big bugaboo. Mm-hmm. And that's a little more nebulous. What does narrowing mean? Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, that's what we came up with.
Okay. You're not done yet.
The rest of your stickies.
Your outcomes.
We got kind of sidetracked on this one.
Shocking.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure my ADD kicked in.
Long bound. 1:30.
We're going to be the teachers.
We would like to see over the next few years, and this is kind of wide range. It would go towards. We started to try to put a specific thing with a specific thing. We kind of gave up on that.
Okay.
I gave up on that very quickly.
We'd like to
have an elimination as much of the admin work as possible for our classroom teachers. Meaning, do everything we can, be a district that has done everything they can to let teachers teach their classroom. And, yes, teachers have to, we all know the things they have to do for grade and report grade, things like that, but we want to take as much of the admin paperwork out of their hands as possible. How you do that? Not 100% sure, but that's logistics. In terms of being well-known, quote-unquote, A district, like to see some specific graduated targets over the next few years. Perform, better on whatever the state decides is the test du jour, we'd love to see things going on. Want to see what we think now has gotten much better, a continuing excellence and more excellence in professional development. We think we're headed that way. What we know with some of the initiatives that have come in, especially with Mr. Reinberg, things like that. But we'd love to see, that professional development piece just keep on moving forward.
Good. Okay.
Thank you. I don't care what they say about your intel house. You're right. Are these ours?
Yeah, it's like one and two. One is the first board, and the second, the one underneath it, is the second board.
That's tricky. Okay.
Just checking.
All right.
No, here. I'll put them in order. Hold on.
Okay.
And I'll just do it like this. Because we had so many, and there was only two of us.
If you put them up there, I'll speak to them. Is that fair?
Perfect.
God, legal.
Yeah, exactly.
I said nothing.
Aside from the we didn't have any help.
I was clearing my throat.
That's illegal.
Making decisions and votes.
There was no
we
vote.
Didn't have a quorum, though.
There was no voting going on.
How are you voting tonight? I don't know. How are you voting?
There's no voting.
We're in silent tension.
Okay. Is that vision?
That was the vision that we would look back, and we have had high retention in the leaders.
Okay.
And the teachers who love it, and this was how we got.
Interesting how you're standing here to talk about it, but she's.
I don't think you can read my writing. That's the problem.
You were supposed to be the good hand writer. I'm a little better than him.
Okay. Yeah. For sure.
All right.
Okay. So we'll start
done. What do you want to tell me?
experienced high retention with executive and teachers who love working here. That's a piece of it.
Do what now?
Retention
of our administrators and teachers. You know, highly effective, the best of the best. You know, we should be attracting and retaining the best of the best. As far as vision goes, you know, this is a place where teachers and administrators enjoy working. You know, it's an environment. And
our leaders, we thought the leaders that were here now,
yes,
we'd like to see them still here. They didn't leave.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This one I really, you know, this is silly because you guys did
it. Anytime you have groups like this, you can have duplication.
You know, so
absolutely.
Forget that. Right. Because we knew that was going to happen.
I support.
That's really good. Is that a statement?
Right. First, do no harm. And I guess that's... I guess that's don't rock systems that are working or in place, like Moonshot Moment, Your Plan, things like that. Programs that are, you know, it takes up to 8 years for a transformation to take place in an organization, so giving someone 3 years isn't really the best thing. As far as first do no harm is that we don't go below the line, as they say, you know, in some places that we, you know, stay in our role and don't like the manager. As far as that goes.
And I think
that
would be
the right. And this is to keep our top team intact, you know, as much as possible.
Here, we're going out on a limb.
Right. Okay, healing between charter schools and the district. Healing the relationship. So I guess from a vision standpoint, it would be a fully integrated approach to education where we focus on the kids and what's best for them and have a collaborative relationship and partnerships that more directly reflect collaboration over competition.
We spoke about this, but not in that phrase.
Okay. Financial security, raise the bar for teachers' pay, and what is this?
Something about reward.
Right.
I can't read my own.
Well, making sure that we're fairly compensating our teachers and putting the money where it does the most good.
And begin to reward. It's 5 years now, or right? Five years later now?
Yeah.
So we finally can reward our teachers for hanging in there.
Because we've been fiscally responsible with everything else, you know, so we can place our emphasis on the priorities. Okay, prioritization of...
No, that's how we do it.
Oh, that's how we do it.
Because we did that next.
So the way we do that is by...
We had one for one.
We started to do the one for one.
Right. So, prioritization to education dollars, teacher salaries, infrastructure, and we'll have to address the millage issue over time. That's going to expire. So, our next superintendent, as we move into the next session, is going to have to be someone who can be in the community and discuss that.
We both said we didn't want to be afraid to ask.
Right.
What are they going to do? Say no.
Right. Mm-hmm. Increased district grades, again.
But this was one.
Right. Supply the teachers with all the tools they need to do their job. You know, that's one way we're doing that. So the tech, whether it's from a technology standpoint or whatever they need, because they're the subject matter experts. Fully integrated and infused schools. You know, basically addressing equality, and that also speaks to the achievement gap and things along those lines. And hopefully arrive at a place where we have a community that no longer requires a desegregation order. By cultivating relationships with nonprofit organizations, non-government organizations, and philanthropic organizations to drive that change.
Which change? You just talked about deseg order.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
specifically fully integrated and infused schools.
Right. So, what the fully integrated and infused schools means being a true community partner, in that we're not just out in the community, but doing well or doing good in the community too. And that's part of, you know, I guess Moonshot Moment's an example, but making certain that we have these private-public relationships.
So not integrated as related to, as relates to the judge's order.
Right. Exactly. Right. Campus security safe, basically having...
Writing wasn't as much better than yours.
Yeah, yeah. So safe campuses, if we have a vision, it's where we've had no major incidents in 5 years because our campuses are safe and our students and teachers and staff all feel safe coming to work. And Gail says we do security cameras, sufficient resource officers, definitely, you know, put in the hands of the professionals, and then locks. And then, because it hasn't been directly addressed, happy, productive kids who are prepared to work in our community, and hopefully, as part of our partnership with the community and economic development, that they actually have places where they can work here. So, create understanding the needs in the community and the private sector, and preparing our students for that. To that end.
Excellent. Good work. Good work. So I'm trying to see
what grading score from
themes we had from both groups. Did I hear fully integrated from both?
They were overlapping. I definitely heard it just said in a different way.
Yeah. I heard community involvement from both sides. We heard New Shot Moment as an example of an initiative, a successful initiative that has been achieved and sustained. What other overlap did we have? 3-year A district. Increase in district grades, so we had an A district school, a 3-year A district.
I think the important part there is, you know, a district that is recognized by non-educators as a, you know, whatever the state is using at that time, you know, to potential parents and potential employees and employers looking to our county.
So, Chamber of Commerce. So an A district is part of that economic development plan,
absolutely,
too, you know, okay.
And I think you also had both groups talk a little bit about fiscal stability,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
I think
yep.
you're bringing up the millage was so important because there are positions tied to those millage.
35 teaching positions, as I recall.
Absolutely.
31.
And that's going to be, and then that $800,000 that we're not getting from Osceola County is also going to impact
right.
the general fund, so that's going to be very...
But on the plus side, our technology implementation hopefully will be pretty close to finish, and that's a little more than half, like 32 cents per point, right? It's about half.
Yeah, but it still has to be maintained.
Mm-hmm. We'll have some.
That's,
there
that's
will be a need of some kind.
There will be still
right.
be a recurring expense
right.
around that.
And we talked about retention in both
mm-hmm.
Staff retention, leadership retention. So and that probably happens with all this other that happens, right? I mean, teachers want to stay because they're working somewhere that's fiscally stable, the recognition is there, community is involved.
Right. Well,
so
I mean,
I think that helps that happen.
Right, a blend of intrinsic and extrinsic reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So with this, is it safe to say this might be consensus on a vision, some of the six components of a 5-year vision, of an institutional vision, school district that's fully integrated, where the community is involved. Moonshot Moment has been achieved and sustained, recognized as a district by non-educators, fiscally stable, and then leaders and teachers have been are retained.
We haven't mentioned the students.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to say. we need to mention students.
Okay.
That's kind of why we're here.
Yep. Well,
so that they have, you know, they're prepared for the future, whether it's college, you know, a world-class education, whether it's college or the workforce. And that they feel safe and
safe and nurturing environment.
I don't know about that.
hug it out kind of thing.
All right, well,
but,
safe.
But they should feel safe, right? Basic Maslow type stuff. I mean, they should feel safe and respected and treated, you know, that they are the consumers of a world-class education.
Well, I think all those other, you know, the other things that world-class education would be a product if all those other things are in place. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying the children are a byproduct. I'm saying that is
what happens when.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, as a school board, you know, we're not in the classroom teaching.
Right.
We're trying to put in place the structure, the infrastructure that's there in order to give these kids.
But as a vision standpoint, can we say that we're all of our efforts are focused on the students?
I wonder if this is that five-year vision.
Okay.
I'm just throwing that out because I agree with that.
I think, I'm sorry, Kara, but I think that world-class, a world-class education, world-class students who are saying, that's on top.
Exactly.
That's
right.
An overriding thing.
That would be our value
vision
proposition.
Statement. Mm-hmm. That's our vision mm-hmm. statement, to educate and inspire mm-hmm. every child to be successful mm-hmm. and to serve all students with excellence. So mm-hmm. those are all the things that need
that,
to be done
that get you to
in
there,
order for us
for
to get to this point.
If we have... are you trying to narrow it down? Because if we have consensus in all of them, we don't have to narrow them down.
No. What I was just trying to do is because you need to have consensus on the vision, some of the high priority items that you're looking for in 5 years, where you want to be, in order then to prioritize these outcomes, which are the most important that have to happen in the next 3 years for this to start to come into focus. And then the next step is, okay, if these are the outcomes, then what does that leader look like to ensure that these outcomes get done?
I just have a question. To me, and maybe I'm just missing something here, I still don't understand what we mean by fully integrated. Because when you're talking about getting rid of the DSEG order, what you're talking about is getting unitary status. And in order to get unitary status, you have to be in compliance such that your students, you know, your schools are representing those mm-hmm. percentages that are in the DSEG order, and your staff, and that's where we're continually now out of compliance, that our staff is not representative of the student body.
Okay.
And you have to be mindful that the DSEG order is only relative to African American students. It doesn't matter that you have diverse Latino students or mm-hmm. Asian American students. It is specifically, you know, so that's one piece mm-hmm. of the DSEG. But what do we mean by fully integrated? What is that about? Because that is really...
Well, you know, we put that on the table, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. What I'll tell you is it wasn't really getting rid of the DSEG order. It was having a community that is so integrated that the DSEG order, although very impossible to commit to because of the fluidness, that it's almost not an issue because we've done so well in doing that desegregation. And I think we didn't want to get specific.
I said about fully integrated meaning, the same things we were talking about. A community that is involved, parents that are involved,
mm-hmm.
Your business community that's involved. That's what I thought fully integrated mean was the entire community, parental community, mm-hmm. philanthropic, business entities, everybody's integrated, everybody's mm-hmm. collaborating, everybody's in this. We kind of got sidetracked.
Yeah. Okay. So then you can get rid of fully integrated because community involvement.
Yeah. Well, we don't have parental involvement. Some of those other things.
Yeah.
Fully integrated means more than just community.
It relates to the desegregation.
Right.
Order.
And I think they were.
That's why I asked the question.
Yeah.
Ago.
Okay.
That relate to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fully integrated within the community.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody's on the same team, working together.
If we're given a shot at a vision, I would like one where that's addressed. I mean, that, you know, we can't solve all our problems, but I mean, if I had my druthers, mm-hmm. it'd be that we had a community where the full spectrum was represented in every organization, that we didn't have the need for that. But, you know, in the interest of time, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, but just as a comment, though, I mean, we have to remember that there are things that we can't control. We live in a community that, by our housing patterns, is we're self-segregated communities. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're, to get that kind of integration, that's a community effort. It's not something that public schools can accomplish, regardless of how good our superintendent is. Those are economic, societal, sociological, but you know. So I see parents, businesses being involved. That's mm-hmm. great. That we can right. control. But some of the complexities right. of communities, we can't.
But isn't this the hope
right.
for 5 years down the line? The vision, maybe there's some way that can be overcome. I don't know what it is,
right.
but it looks to me like that's what I'm seeing here. We would love for everybody to be working together.
I mean, that's what the DSEG order is.
You live in or whatever.
You know, is to make that's sure that we're not segregating by community and housing mm-hmm. and whatever, and therefore only allowing the yeah, and that's why I don't want to digress, because
right.
we have so
right.
I'm not going to get on. I'll agree with your fully integrated, and that's a goal. I think we all can agree that we want to make equal opportunities regardless of you know, the DSEG order, you know, being
order.
Followed or not followed. Yeah, right. We allow those that growth to be fully integrated in
And maybe to the point is the post that we put up there first, do no harm, that the school district at least does our part and keeps our side right. of the street clean.
Right. That's what we can control.
Exactly.
Yes,
within
that's
our
what
scope
we could.
Of control. Right.
Okay, so the next piece is we have some semblance of consensus over here. We've got some outcomes that relate to this. I think these outcomes still relate to the consensus. What we need to do is, if you would take three of your dots, any color, it doesn't matter if you like red, use all three reds, and come up and help me prioritize these outcomes. What absolutely needs to happen in the next 3 years in order to begin achieving some of this over here? And if you have thought of some other outcomes now that you've had a little time to consider and know what the vision is, if you want to add those and vote on it, that's fine as well. But we need to start seeing a pattern here so that we can then look at skills, attributes, talents of the next leader. And we only have 25 minutes, so go.
Get it done.
So three sticky notes.
What color?
Three each or?
Three each. Okay. Now you're voting yeah. yourself.
Pick red, everybody.
I'll go green.
And if it's not there, then write it down and vote.
I'll be criminal.
Up there. You want to write one? I know you're not participating, but I'll write one because I think that's an important one.
What are we writing?
The parental.
Okay. But I thought it was up there.
I didn't see it.
No, we don't have anything about parental. We never did get.
Oh, we didn't get that in?
Well, we didn't get it as a. Because we got lost in the minutia of how do you make that happen.
Oh, okay.
I mean, because this is, remember, parental involvement, that's where it looks. You know, what are the three-year things that get there?
I just keep thinking of what Mr. Frost said when we were talking about those workforce dollars. And you know, he made that comment that, well, maybe we could be using that for some parent education. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, funding is always a limitation, mm-hmm. and here's a perfect opportunity to align funding and outcomes. So I'll
find
Mr.
that.
Mr. Searcy, get your little sticky dots and.
Yeah, they're doing a good
job.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
But you know, I'll share what I have, and you can do your own.
No.
You're not playing sticky.
I'm not.
The less I have to do, the
better. Lunch today. Mm-hmm. I stuck with Bill for 2 lunches.
Gotcha.
I go ahead and take this off.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
multitasking.
That's why I told Judy when I might be late, because I didn't get a hold of their office manager.
Oh, it's today.
Yeah,
okay, we don't bleed into your shirt.
No, that's disastrous.
It's the old Z shirt.
Okay, so top vote getter is continued excellence in professional development, followed by a specific graduated target moving toward an A district, and encourage personal relationships and mind shifts toward partnerships and collaborations, and parental engagement, parental engagement strategy. The other vote getters were excellent communicative leader, comprehensive communications plan, provide teachers with all the tools they need, and prioritize the education, dollars, infrastructure, and village. So those are the outcomes. Professional development, A district, parental engagement, personal relationships, partnerships, and collaboration being the top ones. Then the next question is, what are the characteristics, skills, talents, experience needed by the next leader who can then move some of these outcomes, some of these key priority areas forward in the next 3 years? And if you want to do that yourself or want to go back to your breakout groups, however you want to do that, then we can just chart that.
How many do it individually?
Yeah.
Okay. And in the brochure that you all did for the superintendent search, some of these bullet points are in here. Articulate, enthusiastic, compassionate. Go deeper than that. We know we want somebody who's enthusiastic. We know we want somebody who's strongly committed to all students first. Go a little more specific.
Terry, obviously this is what you're saying is after they meet the requirements, just like every applicant that we go through meets the requirements, after that, what do we want?
Mm-hmm. And this is where I think you all need to have that collective, so that when you're reading through all those resumes, everybody is reading it from the same perspective. Okay, we as a group agree these are some of the high-level, high-skill sets
right.
and experience that we're looking for after they pass all the minutia.
Already forgotten what was up here.
So Dale, I don't know if you heard what the votes were, so that you're lining up those skill sets and that experience and everything, particularly with these vote getters, professional development, A district, partnerships and collaboration, parental engagement.
something, too. I mean, really.
I'll tell you what you've been.
I use all my time.
Do you want us to give you all at once?
Yeah.
All right. After they meet the requirements, the first thing is the person has to be a charismatic leader that can, by the very nature of their presence, lead the district and the community.
Okay.
The second thing is they have to have extreme experience in administration and the success record to prove it, to carry out our vision, so that they have that tool to carry out our vision. And my third thing was the willingness. I mean, I want someone coming in here with the willingness to accept our vision and take direction.
Do you want any... Would you look for somebody who would help perhaps take what we've done today, very rudimentary today, and further co-create that vision with you, with the board? As the leader, or
that's something that we went through many years ago,
okay. And
we, back how
that's what came
that
to
thing
that?
Came,
okay.
came to being. I don't know if it was directed towards Dale or towards
no, me. In general, and not the vision that's on that piece of paper, but right. This vision that we've done here.
But supposedly that would would filter down
yes. Into
something yep. like this. You know, I don't think it hurt anything.
Okay. Okay.
You want me to go?
Sure.
I'm sorry. Chloe, you want to go? I don't know if we want to. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just said, kind of with number one, there's, I wrote someone with excellent interpersonal skills,
mm-hmm.
And then I meant kind of a sub-bullets, you know, not only to collaborate with the community, but somebody who can also, has the interpersonal skills to team build with both the staff and the faculty. And number two, something I do think is important, having to go through this one time, someone with someone with knowledge of Florida educational policies and practices. Florida is a very different animal than a lot of part of the country. I said someone with the same ideas and or with some ideas and or experience in team building with parents in public schools. But someone willing to commit to excellence in staff development and training.
Mm-hmm.
And I put someone on, and I didn't word it very well, but someone with an understanding of excellence in the classroom as measured by the community. What I was getting at, Carrie, is, and I just remember we had a person who interviewed several years ago when Dr. Adams was interviewing, and one of the things were, well, I just want the kids to learn. I don't care how they do on any state tests.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a little short-sighted in that I understand the sentiment.
Right.
And I agree
right.
with the sentiment. You know, however, for some of them, I do think it's important that the leader has an understanding that, yes, we want to do what's right by the children,
mm-hmm.
but that's also an important piece
right.
when in terms of our community as a whole.
May I share something with Lisa?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. I'm done anyway.
Oh, okay. The way I said it was understands the value drivers in education and how to leverage them to meet and exceed the standards from placed on the district and outside.
Yeah, that's
so
what
I
meant. Said much better than mine.
Yeah, hang on a second. Understands value drivers.
Yes. and how to leverage them to meet and exceed external standards. That's the game. Transformational leadership experience, both in theory and practice. That speaks to our standard of partnerships and professional development.
Okay.
A communicator who understands modern communication patterns and channels. That speaks to partnerships and parental engagement. Here, understanding of cost-based accounting and history of solid bond performance. Understanding of cost-based accounting and a record of solid bond performance. Maybe they didn't tank.
No bankruptcies.
No bankruptcies. And last, but certainly not least, focus on student experience and how it relates to the path forward to college or the workforce.
Focus on
student experience and how it relates to the path forward to the workforce or college.
I'll just add to that that I think that it's important to have someone that has humility, because you can't get a person that knows everything that you want them to know, but they have to have the humility to know what their strengths are, what they know, and to surround themselves with competent individuals that can compensate for their weaknesses. So that's really important, because the ideal candidate, just, you know, someone with that can do it all, just that's not real. Mm-hmm. I also think it's very important, and it's really, we say that they need to meet the minimum, but we don't know what that definition is for each board member.
No, we have it on the flyer.
It was defined with the
10,000 yeah. students, and that's what I meant.
Okay, yeah. So you just meant those three items.
Because Masters was the minimum.
Right, okay, so you're talking about just very specific items. There's one thing that I think is important. I don't think that we're a business necessarily. We're a combination of a business and a social service provider. So you need someone that has experience in education, in the classroom, has shown leadership as a principal, you know, the district leadership, that knows what education is about, because it's very difficult to run a system when you don't understand the intricacies of the different positions that you supervise. So I think that is really important. And then I'm just trying to do the ones that haven't been said. Mm-hmm. Someone that has the courage to make difficult decisions and to take a stand. And even though we want a superintendent that's going to comply with all the state mandates, there are many superintendents throughout the country and even in Florida that even though they comply, they take a stand mm-hmm. and are a voice for children when these mandates mm-hmm. are unfair and not appropriate for children. So you want someone that understands, I need to comply, mm-hmm. but you also need someone that has the leadership and the courage to take a stand as needed. I think those are the only ones that are kind of different.
I want somebody with high moral character, period. A good PR person, a good delegator. We've got four assistant superintendents as great as the ones that we have now. They shouldn't have to be sitting in their office all the time. Somebody that's politically savvy, not a former, a recycled former superintendent in a failed district, and somebody with negotiating skills that will be able to, and it's a superintendent's responsibility, to be able to settle a union contract before school year ends every time the contract comes up.
I'm just wondering if we put the savvy in negotiators.
Not a recycled former superintendent in a failed district. As far as that sounds.
Okay. Were there similarities between the five?
Yes.
Okay. Were there ones that you heard, either you heard or you had on your piece of paper, you didn't say it again for brevity, that we should put a star next to, that we really want to, are deal breakers, are critical?
Can I tell what I heard? Uh-huh. I heard all of us really talking about that very, not the wallflower, just, mm-hmm. you know, the charismatic PR leader, you know, spokesperson, advocate for our district, not afraid to, speak out against mandates, you know, that, and so you could kind of put, it was all the, mm-hmm. would you write? I even say, I think politically savvy is PR as well, because right. it doesn't matter what your brand of politics are, you have to navigate field. Through
okay.
them.
One also. Okay.
Yeah, and Dale, just to, you know, when we went through this, when Dr. McCobb was leaving, you know, one of the things that was real important there is somebody who could go out into the community. That was very, very high on our list at that point. And it's still, I think Dr. Evans has done a really good job. We need somebody who's going to keep that going and even build on it.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway.
I heard experience and success record a couple of times.
I think another one, I didn't hear it from a lot of the board members, but the willingness to accept the vision of the board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you need a visionary leader that's going to come in and give you that vision
right.
because you may not have a vision. But we have, for example, the moonshot moment in place,
mm-hmm.
and we can't afford to have someone come in
mm-hmm.
and say, nope, this is my show, and...
Yeah.
That's not what we need. Sometimes you need that.
Yeah.
But I don't think right now, given all of the community investment and all the possibility that achieving this goal is going to garner for our school district and our students, that you'd want, you know, they have to be willing to accept that. To me, that would be a non-negotiable.
Okay.
That's something
yeah.
that we're doing and we
okay.
want to move forward.
I wanted to piggyback that because we've had conversations prior to the new, and I think, most of us, but I know Claudia and I are similar to that. Like I had said, willingness to accept our vision and take direction, and then she said humility. You know, combine that all together. We want somebody that's a leader, but we want them to know that, I mean, see, we're losing somebody not for ill reasons. You know what I mean?
Right.
We have momentum.
Right.
We don't want to lose the momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want somebody willing to accept, you know, we're willing to, you know,
embrace.
See if they embrace anything that they're willing to embrace us, but we're also, as long as it's adding to the vision,
right.
we don't mind the interreaction and the suggestions and the style in which they execute our vision. But I think that's what we were kind of all thinking.
Yeah, I think it speaks to embracing the vision and getting buy-in and someone with values congruence, I guess might be another way of saying it. You said co-creation.
Right.
You know, the idea of that they are going to embrace what's in place and co-create
mm-hmm.
and go forward.
Right.
And I'd also want to, just to go back to the charismatic good speaker and everything, I want to also concur with Mr. Searcy that's a character, that's a character, you know, trait that I also feel, but I wanted to let him know, agree that I would put that good moral background with that charismatic good leader person. I want them to you know, and I don't think that's too bad these days you have to say that. Okay. But yes, I think that I just wanted to acknowledge that I felt that that's part of that priority that we were all talking about.
Okay. Was results oriented up there?
No.
Well, that kind of is the value driver thing and understanding how to get to an A.
That's what I very clumsily try to say. Somebody who understands. And you know, and the example I gave earlier, we had somebody who mentioned, you know, the last time we were going through this, but somebody who understands that the excellence in the classroom as measured by the community, meaning, okay. You know, that high achievement, you know, problem is what does high achievement mean? And like I said, and the example is, we had one candidate last time who said, you know, they just want the kids to do well, don't care what they do, they don't care, you know, about that which. And settlement, but you know, they have to understand that.
But results oriented is what we have to have.
Right.
That's
spot. Yeah, and that's kind of. Okay.
All right, we're at the end of our time. I will type up notes and send them to Ms. Stang, and then she can distribute or do whatever school boards do. What Suzanne says that you can do.
Yeah.
Okay, I've learned that in the last hour and a half.
Yes.
Valuable. Right. I mean, we got somewhere.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much,
Sherry. We can't thank you enough. We appreciate it. And like you said, okay. So where we are now, Sherry. Other than a huge thank you, owe you lunch. I'm sure what else we can do. What we're going to do? Judy's going to summarize this. She's going to get it to everybody. What I would ask you to do now, as individual board members. Obviously, we're making a very decision. Five very different people. We're all going to try to come together. Start thinking. This is just my advice to you, if you will. Start thinking about. Hopefully, this helps you narrow down as to what you are looking for in the next leader. I know everybody's been thinking about that, but you know, hopefully, this exercise will kind of just start even narrowing that down even further. As you go into these interviews, what are we going to be looking for? And not only that, we're going to get into logistics. Here a little bit this afternoon, but also in the coming weeks, as to logistics on how we're going to do things. There will be a chance for questions. Okay, start even thinking about what we did last time is ask the same set of questions to every candidate, and then you could ask whatever you wanted to. So, what is important to you? Start even thinking about what's important to you. What kind of questions do you want to ask? What information do you want to glean from these interviews? Other than that, you know, we just keep reading the resumes, you're doing your background, you know, doing your homework, things like that, and you know, because we're getting close to it, because we're going to start interviews in March.
Contact information, lose it.
Okay.
If it doesn't work well. If it doesn't work well.
Thanks, Carrie. And again, thank you to Carrie.
My pleasure.
Yes,
I appreciate the invitation to participate.
Thank you so much.
Very good.
All right.
Good.
Suzanne, do we need to adjourn and come back in, or are we just
It's
going?
A discussion session. It's at the pleasure of the board.
Does anybody need to take a break real quick, or do you want us to go forward? Let's take a break. Yeah, 2 minutes. Not a long one, really.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. 3 minutes. Yeah. Whatever. 4 minutes.
Just to be sure.
Yes.
Mr. Fritz is on the clock.
Yes. Okay.
Make your notes. Do
okay.
Bring
them back.
Yes, because bring
okay.
them back to Ms. Stang.
Okay.
Oh, there she is. She wasn't there.
Right.
Now she's here so that we have these as part of our record.
All right.
Wonderful.
Good. And that's.
You ready now?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Continue. I don't know if anybody needs something. First of all, it's a discussion session, so we will have time for all your discussion here in just a minute. But I need just a few minutes of your time up front for some housekeeping tonight. As you know, we're going to. There's a place on the agenda where everything else stops, and we're going to open up for a maximum of an hour for public input. Okay. Not sure what to expect, but. What I've done is already gone over with Mr. Fritz and Judy, and what we're going to end up doing, unless somebody has a huge problem with this, but we all think it's going to work, it's going to be fine. We want to make it as friendly and informal as we can, okay? So instead of having, you know, must get in your sign up, all that kind of stuff, what's going to happen, Judy's going to be here at 5:30. She's going to have a pad of paper. And people who want, she's going to be asking people. We make the announcement several times before the meeting starts. Please just sign up on the sheet of paper. That way, we're going to go in some kind of order as they come in.
Ask them to print.
pass them. Print their names. Mr. Fritz would appreciate that, because what's going to happen is as the, just as the...
thank you.
Judy's
sorry,
got...
Sorry,
ma'am. No. Well, that's kind of funny. Yeah. Judy has, you know, she's going to be up here at her normal place during the meeting. Because of where she sits and, you know, all the chairs being here, what we're going to do is she's going to then give Mr. Fritz that piece of paper, that pad of paper. As people come in, now what he's going to do, Mr. Fritz is going to be, we're going to ask him, if he's be so kind, to read the names as they come along. And he's going to try to make it as orderly as possible. Say, hey, you know, Joe, you're up next, and then Sally, you're next. Or whoever, however, I told him to make the magic happen. I don't care. Don't build for ourselves. I don't want to hear about layer pains. Just show me the baby. And we're going to make sure there's a row there people get to, because what's going to happen is somebody may come in after it starts. We still got an hour committed. So during, in between some of the speakers, if we see people coming in just before the next person starts speaking, we'll make a quick announcement. You know, if anybody's in here to speak, we're still in the allotted time. Please see Mr. Fritz in the back of the room, and he'll add their name as we go along, and we'll get through as many as possible. What we do need board input on is the mechanics of doing it. Are we going to, now I know a lot of this is going to be, let's say it depends, do you want to have any kind of hard time limit, any kind of soft time limit? And again, if we have four speakers, whatever, knock yourself out. If we have 120 speakers, 3 minutes is fine. We can say, we get three head nods.
Well, you know, if they can't say it in 3 minutes, they're not prepared.
Absolutely.
So. And I'm anticipating you having a number of people here tonight. And if you give the first one 10 minutes and the second one 10 minutes, our hour's up.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying that for some reason we had three people here. Go ahead, Dale.
Can I make a suggestion that we've done at other meetings? I've done at other meetings is if we have the hour allotted, we have a very short agenda. That at the end of the hour, I think you should turn to the board and say, is the board willing to extend? And that we should talk about now. How much would we be willing to extend? Another hour? Another half hour? Another hour? Because that's
again,
what I want to know.
Regardless, we need to talk about a time limit.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay. But no. I'm talking about time limit
for speaker.
During
that first
time limit for speaker. We okay with 3 minutes? Yeah. We just ask people, say, look, we're not trying to be draconian, but we want to make sure everybody gets a chance. 3 minutes, okay.
And if they have more to say, can they go back to the back of the line and try to...
Within that hour?
Within the hour?
I
can't stay for an additional hour after the meeting. You know, that's the reason why I had proposed that maybe we do different places.
Well, and here's,
I have a commitment.
Here's the next caveat to that. What I was going to suggest is if we do it for... We're going to say 3 minutes. 3 minutes per speaker. Come, you know, say your piece about the superintendent, whatever. Then if we get to the end of an hour, if we've got one speaker left...
Sure.
If there's two speakers left for 3 minutes, fine. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Just, I'm going to use a little common sense here. If we've got 50 speakers left, do we want to then tell people, listen, we will try to do this again in July... At one of the
after the fact.
We'd love to hear what you think of our decision.
Oh, don't worry, you'll hear that anyway. Believe me, you'll hear that in February. Do you want to say again, common sense? If there's 50 people left on a list and want to say it, say, listen, we understand there's a lot of people here. We need, because the reason for an hour is we're here to do the business of the district. And it's important to get the business of the district done. So do we want to commit to, again, common sense, if we have a whole bunch of people, there's 100 people left to speak, which I don't think there will be, do we want to say we can do this again in February or just kind of leave it open-ended?
You have to make that call after everybody speaks, because don't throw that out there. I mean, we shouldn't have a second round.
That's why I'm looking for guidance.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're just going to go for an hour tonight. If we do realize we have a whole bunch of things and we want to, and as a board collectively, we want to make some more time available, either here or, as Ms. Minna says, somewhere else, we've still got a month to make that magic happen.
And I was just hoping that we would get more input during the selection of actual candidates than now. I mean, I'm glad that we're giving them the opportunity, but that's why I said I wouldn't want to do a second round.
And
that decision.
That's the next piece of this discussion. What Judy gave you
Could I just make one comment?
About tonight?
Yes. I'm not going to come in during that time. Okay. I don't think I should be sitting there. I want people to feel comfortable saying whatever they're going to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, Carter will, Carter's going to be sitting there, but he will be the person that
okay.
until the hour's over and the business meeting starts, then I'll come back and I'll be listening. But I think it's very important that people feel free to say whatever they need to say, and I don't want to be a barrier to that.
That's fine. We respect that. Judy sent out, if you look in your packet, there is a little drafting. Many thanks to Judy. She has put this together. What this is these are just some suggestions that have been built up over time and doing this a few times. Okay, that's nothing more. It is not set in stone. These are some of the things I want you to start thinking about, okay? We are going to have to get together in February at another time. We're not going to have time today. And at some point, I'm going to get together with Judy on some times when we have poll on a Tuesday to kind of knock some of these things down. Everything you're going to start thinking of, everything that's on here, again, we already touched on how you want the question format to go. Last time, we went in order, and everybody asked, I think, three questions each that were standard, something that you wanted to ask about. And then we went back through, and you could ask anything you wanted of the candidates. And that was to make sure we had the same questions for each candidate. You know, sometimes you want to have that kind of commonality. Start thinking about that. Time limits, and Judy, go back and look and see, figure out how much time we had per.
And one thing you want to do, though, for this, and I think time is of an essence because we do have such a small frame to work with, we need to set up a time when we're going to meet and determine what those questions are going
to
be.
That's what I said. That's going to happen. That's going
to
happen in February.
That needs to be done really soon.
In February.
Because we won't have.
That's what I'm saying. Next month, we got four Tuesdays in February. One of those Tuesdays.
We should take out calendars.
Well, why wouldn't it be at one of our discussion meetings?
It could be.
Please put it there.
It's going to take up the whole discussion session, I'm telling
you.
Okay. So everything from time limits, then are you going to let the community have a go at these people? These are all things that I don't need an answer right now. What I mean by that, what we did is the board members stayed out of the room. And interviewees were in here, meeting people. We invited people from the community.
Before a group of people, and they just from the audience asked questions.
Yeah, and just however you want. This is not as long as we're following state law.
Was that before the interview when you
yes.
came
that
in?
Was the same night.
So it was all
same
scheduled
night.
Yes. to be
same night.
Okay.
Yep.
And then with them first. And then
yep.
Before.
And then that was done. That was for a set period of time, mm-hmm. and at time certain. The candidate, I think you even left, and we came in, got all situated, and then the interviewees came in. And two for our interviews. I think we had an hour of time limit interviews. I think something like that.
At least.
Again, go through. It was at least. Go through these items, if you will, individually. We're going to have to come to a consensus, okay, before March as to how it's going to handle. I can tell you one thing we did last time also, right after the interviews, is the board members and the interview candidate. It sounds goofy, but we went out to dinner. Okay, everybody paid for their own. In fact, I wrote a check. I paid for because we had people come in and say, "Y'all are wine and dining these people." Mm-hmm. Pissed me off. I wrote a check for $250. I handed it to Carter.
Mm-hmm. You're invited this time.
Yeah,
you are there. Bring a check.
I mean, is that something? The idea was it still had to be noticed. It still had to be, but you were sitting there, five people at a table, and the idea was. The whole idea behind it was to get to know that person a little bit more, not in a very staid, sterile setting. We don't have to do that. Again, think about it. Think about the pros and the cons.
Can that be under the sunshine law? Because if we're going to be visiting with that person, asking about questions about what we're going to be doing.
It was advertised. We are going to be at Sonny's. Well, we're at Sonny's, but we're going to Fat Boys at this such a time.
Yeah, Fat Boys doesn't exist anymore.
It's just called
something else, not here.
But, I mean, now could... members of the public come into the restaurant and sit beside you? Yeah.
Yes.
And that's why. Again, it wasn't my idea. We did it last.
I wanted to ask that question.
Yeah. That was a big thing. So, do you want to do something like that again, is what I'm saying.
Now, is this going to be for all 27 of them?
No. No. The interview process. We're meeting with Dr. Blanton March, whatever. What is it? March 3rd, Dr. Blanton. At that point, you will have everybody would have done all their homework. Everybody would have every resume. You would have done whatever calls you want to make. You're free to do that. You know, combine to the whatever Mr. Gresta says you can do. At that point, we come together. We're going to narrow it down into an interview pool at that point. Okay. And like Dr. Bland said, I know, Sean, you were there at the time. And he really, and he said this last time, and it really was pretty easy. He said, you're going to have one pile. And it's at that
it's already shaken.
Pretty, and it does. We're going to come down to about five. If we have six candidates, if we have seven candidates and there's a strong consensus candidate, we'll do seven.
Right.
We can do as many as we want, but I understand that's a big time commitment, and you know, it takes quite a long. But really about five candidates. Five is what we ended up with last time. I think we had one from out of state, one in-house. Dr. Kent was deputy superintendent. You know, we had a good strong field.
I think he's ready to move now, actually.
Yeah, ready to resign from his.
Did he really? Yeah.
Did he resign today?
No, he. There was a thing in the news that said he was leaving.
At the end of the year,
All right, so Claudia, go ahead.
So, just so that I understand, so we have a discussion February 3rd.
Okay.
So at that discussion, we will tackle this and move forward because. March 3rd is upon us.
That'd be a month from then. So,
did they do the question? Did you do the questions in the public?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was all in the sunshine.
Write the questions.
Yeah, remember, everybody came and we had a list of questions and everybody gave their questions.
Okay.
When is it? What's that?
That's
the fun part. Is everybody know every question? And the order you do it, if you have a candidate that wants to go last, they're going to be able to see every single interview. They're going to know every question that, and then the folks sunshine fun. They're going to know every single question asked. They're going to know every question, every answer that was given.
And so how do we decide who goes first? If we like use the Dungeons and Dragons die.
Remember, you always have the option after we assign each board member questions. There is always an option for you to ask another question that's your own question that the board hasn't discussed.
Okay.
And those are going to be the opportunities for board members to really be paying attention to each of the candidates and to be strategic in their questioning. But the majority of the questions are scripted, and you're assigned your three and your three, but then at the end, everyone has an opportunity.
To clarify that, that's why we did it last time.
Right.
Again, February 3rd, I want everybody please come armed, ready to discuss the questioning process, everything from time limits to everything, okay, in a week from now. Because we need to get those parameters in place. And it's like I said, it shakes out pretty. How do we decide who got to go first last time? Do you remember?
Alphabetical.
You just decide.
You don't remember either.
Some of them might have been.
You mean the applicant?
That's true. Yeah, because what's going to happen is once we get down to, say, five, Judy is going to set up the interviews for us. And unfortunately, a lot, especially people who are
flying from out of state, possibly,
you know, coming from out of state or driving from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I mean, these people have jobs. You know, they can't pick up and move on. Maybe not people. So it's Judy's going to have to make those interviews happen to fit everybody's schedule. And that's just, it does. It's a weird way to interview people, but I don't know anyone.
Well, you have to have them. You say all of them can be in here at the same time.
No, not in here. It's public record.
I think you only did one interview. Did you do more than one interview at that one day?
We did two of them one day.
Two? Okay.
We did two of them on one day. And you can go online and see them. Mm-hmm. You know? You can watch them.
Well, they're not televised live.
But they're out there.
But they are public record.
Right.
So all you got to do is passport.
Didn't we set a time when they were going to be broadcast? Are you calling
right, they weren't broadcast until after the interviews were over.
Right.
Is there any?
And during the discussion with the questions, you may want to wait until March 3rd and do it that day, develop your questions, And that session does not have to be televised or audio taped. It can be an information session that we just take notes.
Yeah.
So at least for the question piece, but
it's open now. I mean, the room's open.
Sure.
But we do need. We didn't have because of the president. But we do need to. So I mean, that's just the question because Dr. Bland will be here. Hopefully, we'll have some time that day. But we do need to start narrowing down on how we're going to do this. Are you going to, because logistics things. Okay. So we will talk about that February 3rd in a week from now. In the meantime, look through this that Judy was so good to put together for us. And we'll go through. All right? Anybody might have any other questions on that?
Yes, not on that.
Any have anything else on that? Are we all good?
Just a suggestion. I would like to see, I know it's a long way off, but it's coming closely. I would rather that we pound out as many interviews, not two, and then 2 days later, two. I would rather pound them all out.
The problem you have is it's a long, drawn-out process.
No,
and
I know
by
that.
By the time, the way we did last time, the community is going to want, I said it last time, but they're going to want to go with these folks. Okay, you're going to have some interested community members, so we facilitated that by inviting community members saying, Wayne Gent's his interview by the board is at 5. He will be available from 4 to 5 to meet with him. Once you start doing that a couple of times, and then remember we were going out to lunch,
right,
or dinner after that.
Right.
Yeah. That's why we only doing two a day. We don't have
so
to
we
do
can
that.
Cut that then.
Again, that's all a good discussion for next Tuesday.
Okay.
So kind of start thinking about that and milling out.
And it's not that I'm opposed to lunch, but maybe a catered in here and call it a day because that's a lot of reception thing.
I am certainly not saying that we have to. That's just what, no offense, Claudia, but the ladies, that's what the ladies wanted to do last night. It was me and four ladies.
Well, in defense
like Charlie's Angels.
Sorry.
In defense of Charlie's
more of the
Angels,
Charlie's Angels.
The idea was to create a different feel, right, because it's one thing to be in a room like this where it's going to be cold and these lights and you're being grilled and to just take someone to a different setting. And an informal setting to get to know that person. So I don't think it was just, I know it's not intended to be flippant, but I think that was part of the process because this is a person that you're going to be working with for a long time.
It worked.
But, the board
worked,
doesn't want to do it. That's fine. But I think there was a value to it.
Yeah,
the board
no.
I didn't mean
it like that. It worked. It was just that was a Carol Karen thing.
I'm just gonna, too bad the Alternative Center couldn't provide a lunch for us. We're away from here, and that's just throwing a shot out. They get to see firsthand part of our students at work.
Let's come ready to discuss that Tuesday. And this will give everybody a chance to kind of digest this information, think about it, think how you want the process to go, and we'll talk about that.
The candidate is going to be grilled. It's like we grill Fran every school board meeting here. I mean, they're going to be grilled in these same circumstances.
We'll have an hour of that. Don't go through that regardless.
You expect to be asked a lot of questions in the room.
Personal, getting to know personally.
And if you come up with something next week, let's talk about it next week, how we can make that happen.
Perfect.
All right. Okay. Next item is Mr. Searcy.
First of all, I wanted to throw one other thing in. It's not on the agenda, but I talked to Fran about it earlier. Is there any way we could look at, instead of having a two-hour workshop in the morning and a two-hour discussion in the afternoon, putting all that in from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock to the board meeting time, makes sense to me. I mean, it ruins the whole day for me. I can tell you that. But, you guys are the ones that make that decision. But it looks to me like we could get it done. And it's the same 4 hours.
I mean, it's a logistics thing to me. Personally, I wouldn't mind it. I think, would it be a huge problem for? I mean, I guess it would just depend on what's going on. Right?
Right. I mean, most of the time we have the first is a if there's a workshop in the morning, and then we have the afternoon discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first one of the month. Usually the second time of the month we might have a 1 o'clock. We could have a 1 o'clock workshop, but we don't have a discussion session. So usually it's that first board meeting of the month where you have that you may have a morning and an afternoon because the discussion sessions goes 1 to 3 or 1 to 4, right? 1 to 3.
Can I weigh in?
We've got some critical issue coming up, a major policy thing. I can understand that. And, you know, we'll be here. But and during the next month or so, it's probably going to be critical that we have the two.
Yeah.
Maybe, but, you know, it's 4 hours, whether it's 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. I'd like to make that suggestion that we consider that anyway.
As long as it's not a, again, we would have to be kind of a common sense thing. As long as it's not a hardship to the district, I'd be fine with me. Dale, I know you're trying to weigh in.
Yeah, and I was going to agree, because we would be here if we had to be here and there was something going on.
Whatever.
But, and I think it was supposed to be 8, we went to 9:30 because of Karen, and it works out. Again, we all have other obligations. If your staff could take their lunch from 11 to 12, their lunch earlier, and then...
Sure.
We plow in as long as we have a few moments in between the 2 hours, you know, a 15-minute break between the 2 hours. That's the same. I agree that's the same 4 hours. And, you know, to me, to have 2 hours in the morning and then I don't want to say kill time for an hour and a half, but that's what it becomes. As long as it's not a hardship to your staff, I think that's... And the other way is we keep putting... And I'm sorry, but we are putting... Workshop. We don't have a workshop. That's going to be announced, but we'll find one, I think. That's what I'm saying. That's why I denied them, because unless I have a subject for a workshop, I'm not accepting a workshop that we have not created a subject matter for.
Yeah.
But, but if we have something meaty, of course I'll be here, just as he said. So I just don't want to, how do you feel? Because we all have...
Yeah, well, I don't support that just because, you know, I don't see it as killing time. I mean, there's a lot of reading. There's staff to talk to. So on Tuesdays, when I come here, I make sure that that's the time when I'm here for that time. I can prepare for the meeting. I can prepare for the workshops. Oftentimes, the workshops have so much information. You just appreciate having the time to process. What are my questions? How do I follow up with this? And sometimes they go over the 2 hours. And if we start cramming everything into 4 hours, sometimes we're not going to really have the time we need to do the work that needs to get done. And I think, you know, when you run for these offices, you do have to make a commitment to do some of that minimal time commitment, and trying to just squash everything in, that doesn't work for me because I really need to process things. And I am overwhelmed. Like today, we got 2 hours of nonstop listen. And then, you know, I was able to look at my notes and start thinking, okay, what are the questions that I'm going to follow up on? And you know, it's too much information. And I worry. And then sometimes in the discussions, the superintendent puts items in that we need to follow up on. And then there isn't enough time for the discussion that the board members need to have. And I just... You know, when we say it's only going to be from 8 to noon and that's it, it's too much. I don't think we do ourselves a favor by trying to just continually condense, because we don't have a lot of time together to talk about the things that we're hearing about and learning about.
I don't think he was talking about changing the time together, but like I said, your questions and meeting with staff that for you could be in the morning. I find other times to converse and make my questions. It's not minimizing my time. My time is maximized, but at my, at my convenience and staff's convenience.
Right.
And I don't think he was talking about 8 to 12. He was talking about 12 to the other, to whenever. 12, and so then we're here for the day when we get here, instead of we're here, and then, as I said, you know, it doesn't matter. 4 hours is 4 hours. We don't make it less than 4 hours.
We are a policy-making board, and I don't know what policies have come out of the workshops that you folks have had or the discussion session, but if we're a policy-making board, we're going to make the policy at the board meeting. I don't know, have policies come out of workshops that you've done?
Well, the one we had just before this was the all-day Neola. You know what I mean? So in terms of when you've been on the board, and sometimes there are things that are going to come before the board to give you some background information.
There are things like, answering the question either way for your, but I'm just thinking, you know, you're going to have some workshops like on the 5-year capital.
Oh, sure.
You know,
budget coming up. There'll be workshops on budget, and that will be a couple of workshops. You'll have budget on legislation.
I had an opportunity to attend the countywide council for PTA, and a couple of other board members were there, and everyone else at the receptions. One of the things that the parents in that group said would be very helpful to them is if we had one of our business meetings in the morning. And again, I don't know if or how this fits in, but perhaps that might help things. If one of our two business meetings were in the morning, then staff and folks can have dinner with their family, and then we move into workshops. And if we have to have a workshop, it can be in the evening, and then the people can see what's the transparency of what we do in a workshop. So that sort of mixing around what different populations see of the school board at work. Again, it's just a thought, and you know, it's the what they said to me made sense in that they drop their kids off and they pick them up at around 3 or 4, and then it's difficult. And I believe we had a speaker at our last commissioner again who said 7 p.m. But you know, it's about the interest, not necessarily the specific tactic to get there. But the interest is having another group. And I know folks who work in the service industry who work nights who have children. You know, whether it's food service or hotels and things like that, they've said that it's difficult to come to the meetings. So maybe if we offer one meeting, and again, it's just an idea.
No, those aren't new.
Oh, I'm sure they're not new. I'm the new guy, so they come back to me and say, hey.
And that's right. Well, we had school board meetings while I was here. We had school board meetings in Sebastian.
Actual meetings.
And our actual business meetings, we were going to try to do that, and it just,
nobody showed up. It was a burden to get everything there and everything, but that might compress the date.
I think people in the district have shown a willingness to try things like that, and yeah, if we want to talk about that at some point, we can bring that up later.
Sure.
You know, I don't know if that's
so if we have one of our Tuesdays business meeting starts at 10 and goes till lunchtime, and then the afternoon is our workshop, and then there's nothing in the evening unless it happens.
Well, the only problematic thing about that, as Mr. Gress will say, there are districts in Florida who start at what time in the morning?
9:30.
And they just go all day.
And they go all day.
Okay. Because remember, the school, there's not a set time to end a school board meeting.
Right.
Okay. But a good chairman can handle it.
Believe me, if I truly ruled the world, every school board meeting will last about 12 minutes.
I see both sides. I mean, if we were doing Neola and we're doing all this stuff and it's an all-day, I see that. But if we're doing performance contracts, the district initiatives that are moving forward, where it's, you know, presentation and a few questions. I kind of get what Mr. Searcy is saying, because it's not interactive, and policies, well, what do you think, and whatever. It's presentational. That's where I think that the condensed in time, it's presenting information. There never is room for all the questions, because then we all go off individually. If we have follow-up, we hunt down staff.
Dale, can I suggest this? From now until November, while I'm here.
All right, here comes the hammer.
From now until June 30th to me.
Yeah.
You want.
Exactly.
Do you want to keep the status quo is what you're saying?
No, that's fine. No, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say, if just keeping that in mind, if you do see an opportunity where we can, you know, move, instead of, you know, we've got a workshop and a discussion or whatever, and if we can put them both in the afternoon, if you think it's possible, you know, we've got, and again, some of the workshops are just informational because you're going to be asked crap in the community, you know. And so if you find some, give me a call, and if we decide we can move it, then yeah. Because we're all committed all day Tuesday anyway, so you should be able to be here between noon and 6.
Thank you very much.
I mean, again, common sensical approach.
Okay.
Okay. Next item.
We won't change it until we talk with you and let's see if it's possible.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Let's see if the logistics work. Okay. Ms. Menes, instructional calendar?
Yeah, I'd like to know.
We skip one very important item.
We try to go everybody have a shot, have a bite of the apple.
So time doesn't run out.
Before we leave this, before we leave this, a question that was asked around the superintendent search, are we posting the resumes on the website? Are these public records? Somebody asked me if these resumes were being posted.
That's a good question.
I wanted to.
No, they're not.
She told me
they're public
records. I think that was what Dr. Blinton said in that workshop, didn't he? Didn't he say they're public records?
They are public records.
But we're not actively pushing.
We're not putting them on a website.
So that's
the difference.
And the decision, that's just the practice of the school district not to do that?
Well, they were there.
I'll weigh in. There's many police reports and things. Yeah. There's many police reports and things available with public records, but we don't put it up on the web. So I think that it's a public record in the state of Florida, and they can request it. But I wouldn't – I feel funny because I feel that the people that are applying, I don't know that we've put that in there. And obviously by our law it's public records, but I don't think we should be doing that. It has home addresses and everything.
And by the way,
they do that with our financial statements.
I know, but we took care of that.
You know that we got two resumes in this morning. Just FYI, everybody.
So the answer is no. If somebody wants them, they have to make a public record.
And we have had people request them, and they have received.
Patty, was that conversation sort of headed in that direction where whoever you were speaking with felt that that would be a good practice?
They felt that they were working, I guess because the Press Journal made some of them public or something like that.
Yeah.
And so they said, well, if the Press Journal is doing this, why isn't the school district making this available if it's a public record so the community can also know who's applying to these positions because they are a public record. But it sounds like the practice is that they are not posted. If the Press Journal chooses to do that, that's their prerogative. And so if anyone contacts me again, I'll just say you can just make a public records request to the school district.
And actually there are a couple people that have been asking for updates to public records. I mean, they've asked for the information and then a month later they'll ask for any updates to the information. Readily available.
So there's no interest from our board to make these available?
Nope.
Not for me.
Okay.
All right.
Ms. Stang, when they send them to us, do we send anything back that says, I'm sorry?
No. Just side conversation. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. No, I thought I was on board. Sorry.
He's going to ask a question that I had.
When someone sends something like their military preference or something along those lines, do we send something back saying, Florida has very liberal sunshine and privacy, basically saying your resume is now a public record?
Your advertisement says that.
It does. I thought I'd seen it somewhere.
Dr. Blanton always recommends it. I recommend it as well, that you let folks know from out of state that don't understand Florida's sunshine of public records laws, that it all of a sudden they're bare to the world.
Okay.
It's part of your advertisement.
So it does say
very
that,
good.
But
okay.
We still choose not to make it available.
We don't put it on the website.
Right. Okay.
Okay, didn't answer the question, but very close to it, which could answer the whole thing. I was concerned that as a courtesy and as showing our best foot forward, are we replying every time you get a resume? That would be the place. Thank you, we've received your resume, and it was going to all 5 board members. This has now become a blah, blah, blah. I don't know if we're doing a courteous response. Are we saying we've received it and it's been passed to the board members?
What I do is automatically send them a letter. Thank you for your interest in the superintendent position. If I have further information, as soon as I have further information, I will be in touch.
Okay. So could that be where you make sure you say that then? About the public records.
That would just be a courtesy.
That would be a very nice courtesy.
Thank you.
That would be a very nice courtesy, I think.
Do you want that added?
Sure.
would I go back and send them all out?
No.
No, no. Moving forward. Moving forward.
Add another sentence on there. Just make it sound nice.
Thank you.
Okay, we're ready to move on? Okay, yes. Mrs. Miles.
Okay, instructional calendar. There was a question, and we get these questions every year from people that start planning their vacations, that want to know when school is going to start. And it's always complex because, as you know, there's a bill that's being put forth. We don't know if it's going to pass or not, but it could impact our calendar. So, you know, my question for our discussion is, do we need, or is it even realistic to think that we can have some kind of timeline so that as a district we have a goal of when that calendar is going to be ready so that people can know in advance? But of course the caveat is we don't know what the legislature is going to do, so that may not be realistic. But I think it's important to let the community know. If we can't set up a timeline, there's got to be communication so that people understand that we're aware, but we just can't, it's not realistic for us to do. So I was hoping somebody could address that.
Let me first of all say that I did receive Mrs. Jimenez's email regarding a question on that, and I hadn't received any information. However, even before Mr. Fritz came, I would say that our goal would be to have a two-year calendar. You know, I mean, that would be the ultimate, so people would know that for 2 years. But with all the changes that we've had legislatively, we're not able to do that. But I will let him talk about the calendar committee and how people get together and make a decision about that and where we are right now with that.
So the board has established a calendar committee, and Dr. Suit facilitates that process. They had a number of meetings, I want to say 4 or 5 meetings thus far, and they did come up with a draft calendar that was brought to the superintendent's leadership team on Monday of this week. We did review it, and at the request of the team, Dr. Suit's going back to make a couple of have some more discussion around the calendar with a little bit of feedback from the superintendent's leadership council. There were some concerns that were expressed, and we wanted them to look at a few things a bit further. The second issue has to do with the possible change in Tallahassee with regards to whether or not the school year might start earlier. And so at Dr. Adams' request, the committee also will be working on a calendar B. So it'll be a calendar A if things don't change, and a calendar B if things do change. Really, based on our feedback, with the goal of having the first semester end before the Christmas holiday, there's an advantage functionally to making that happen if it's at all possible. So the calendar committee is reconvening on the 2nd, so I think it's next week. And when Dr. Adams and I actually just talked about this today, our target date to have something before the board would be the 2nd meeting in February. There also is another piece at play here. Because in our negotiations with IRCEA, last time we established a modified instructional calendar committee, which looks at the in-service days and that schedule to see whether we wanted to propose a change to that. That committee is also in progress. I'm facilitating that meeting. We just had a meeting yesterday about that, and our target is to have that work finished in preparation for that same date. We're going to need to speed up our calendared meetings a little bit in order to make that deadline, but that's something we certainly can do so that the board can see both calendar A and calendar B simultaneous with the modified instructional calendar recommendation all at the 2nd meeting in February.
Mm-hmm. So the process is typically that the calendar committee meets and then they bring something forward to the superintendent's leadership council and we review. And if there are some glaring things, as we felt, we just send it back, and then I bring forward something to you, a couple of options. You know, so, for example, we want to look at an A and a B, should legislation change, and then you get the opportunity to look at it and discuss and make modifications as you see necessary.
In the past, I know that there have been changes in the calendar, and in the past, the board has made suggestions to the committee. For example, no days off in the middle of the week. You know, it's either Friday or Monday, but you don't want to do Monday, Tuesday school, no school Wednesday, because that's disruptive. And we've often requested data about absences. I know we've gotten data on teacher absences in the past and what it looks like for students around some of these holidays. I mean, this month we had that all these days off and then a modified day, and then we're going to have testing coming up, and it's very disruptive to students. So are we going to be able to get some of that data so that we can be make informed comments on the calendar, maybe the most recent data and last year's data in terms of absences, so that we know, you know, now that, for example, they have the whole week off for Thanksgiving, are we seeing any more absences that we used to on that Friday or the Monday afterwards to help us understand?
I don't think the calendar committee has done any of that this year. So, I mean, if there's some specific times like that that we could look at. And it's kind of, we did look at it before and there were a lot of absences, but I think some of it is, how much time are we spending on instruction on those days before holidays? And I think that's an impact on whether students come to school or not, you know, quite frankly. So we tried to have some discussion about that. But if there are any dates such as that before Thanksgiving or any other dates that you would like us to retrieve some data, we're glad to do that.
The 2 weeks off at Christmas is a real problem with me. When you close the office down for 2 weeks, that's a real problem. I hope that doesn't appear in the calendar, because I'm sure you won't get one vote. I don't know about the rest of them. We can't talk about votes, but that's not good.
So everybody has so many days that they work, you know, in 12-month, 11-month. So it's kind of built around that as well, and everybody gets so many paid holidays. So, but you'll have the opportunity, you know, to take a look at it.
So if there are particular questions that you have regarding a certain day or staff attendance or student attendance on certain days, I guess under the existing calendar, if it's okay to email me with that request.
So Thanksgiving.
I can get that information for you. I do know there is some information on the board section of the website. It's, I think, 2 years old now. It was 2013. I think the data for Thanksgiving is on there. I saw that was an interesting thing that was on the board website, so you might look at that. But we can get you the 2014 data as well, if you desire that. But just send me an email with the specifics about what data you would like, and we can provide that to you. And then once the draft calendars are out there for your viewing, if you see it, if you have additional requests that you need before you get to the board meeting, let me know, and we could get that for you as well. It's pretty quick. It's just a walk down to payroll to get that information.
And one more caveat to this is, if in fact we look at an A and a B and the board agrees that we would like to, if legislation changes, that we would like to have the semester in prior to Christmas vacation, then that will be, decision won't be made on the calendar until late. However, we can certainly let our public and our community know that. So we won't know until after the legislative session as to whether we want to go to a different semester calendar next year, or so. That's another piece of information you'll have to weigh.
Okay, and then my final question on this. In the past, we've had issues with the composition of the calendar committee, that it really wasn't representative. And I know that there was conversation there. I didn't bring the minutes with me. Have we resolved that issue? Is that calendar committee truly representative of all the stakeholders?
I don't know how to answer the question. Nothing about that has been raised this year regarding any concerns about the composition of the calendar committee within the committee, or I haven't heard anything about
specifically
that.
Specifically?
No, I just remember in looking at my notes, there were some issues that it, not everybody was equitably
I know. So. I mean, there are students, there are parents, there are staff members, multi-faith, there are different perspectives on the committee. But I haven't. Dr. Suit hasn't. I've been to a couple of meetings. Dr. Suit hasn't let me know there have been any concern or conversation about it. And I've heard nothing.
All right, Ms. Simchick, do you have anything?
No.
Mr. Frost, do you have anything?
No, sir.
I don't have anything else. Back to Mr. Searcy. Still got 38 minutes.
Well,
thank you, Mr. Fritz.
The contract that we have with the school board attorney terminates March 31st, 2015, and the language in the contract says that if we don't terminate the contract by March 1st of each year, it's going to automatically extend for an additional year. There's some concern in the community that we're paying $22,000 a month for legal assistance or legal advice, and the people that are talking to me are saying that seems to be excessive, and I would like to get the opinion of the board if we need to look at this, if you're all excited about $22,000 a month. I've already discussed this with Ms. DeGressa, so we're not, it's not a shock to her. I told her I was going to bring it up. But the time is of the essence. If we are going to do something with the contract, it's automatically going to extend if we don't do something by March 1st. We've got to act now. At least give the notice that we're going to terminate the contract, possibly renew or extend for a number of months. And when I talked to Dr. Adams about it, she said, well, you know, we're doing the superintendent search, and we just don't want to get too cluttered with this. But we have folks that are out there that are handling contracts for us, and I think they could do an RFP or whatever to see if we're in line with what we should be paying for an attorney. So my point is, the contract's going to end, or it automatically extend for another year. If we don't send a letter to the firm by March the 1st, that's the way I read it, and I understand from some legal minds that no, that's not the case. They're working for us at the pleasure of the board, but attorneys read contracts differently than I do. And I just, if we're going to do it, we have to do it now. So, Ms. Roth, that's mine.
I also had a concern about the March 31st date, and the same folks who are speaking with Mr. Searcy are picking in my ear, too. One thing that I noticed in the contract was, while it's a 3-year contract, my understanding of it is there's a 30-day notice was a no, I can't, not no fault, but no cause.
Yeah.
So really it's a 30-day contract, as I understand it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that it probably would be in the board's best interest to do our due diligence and see what options are out there. But at the same time, I don't know the sense of urgency. I agree that it should be sooner rather than later.
It has to be within the next 3 days, because 30 days, that'd be the full month.
I don't know if I'm recalling correctly, but Matt, since we, maybe was it a year or two ago that we actually looked at legal services, and because we had this issue come up, and we tried to, because the community, I mean, when I got on the board, it was an issue. And so there was conversation about looking at our legal expenses and trying to figure out how they could be cost effective. Because if you look at the list that Mr. Morrison makes of our legal expenses, the law firm is just one out of many. And there are other areas of expertise, and that's where we brought in a lot of our local lawyers so that they can work on areas that benefit the school district that they're knowledgeable of. The challenge that we found when we were looking then for a school board attorney is finding someone that has the knowledge and the fluidity with the information of the education law. And I too am concerned. I think it is a lot of money, but when you look at the amount of work that is done and the kind of advice that we get, the knowledge with the statutes and that ability, you call Ms. DeAgresta and she knows what you're talking about. We can't afford, especially with all this change that we're seeing right now, the learning curve of hiring a lawyer that does not have that level of expertise and doesn't, because local lawyers may be wonderful at real estate law, at other types of law that we're using and we're using them for, but when it comes to education and some of the more specifics, that's where my concern would be. Sure, I want our bill to be less, but I don't want to do it at the expense of not having a knowledgeable board counsel that is going to be able to address those issues. Because the contract piece and the other, the employment law, we're doing as locally as is possible. So that's where my concern is, and especially with such short notice right now of saying, well, it's next month and we're going to begin another search. We're barely into the details for our superintendent search. I would ask the board to really think, and now that you're trying to consolidate, have fewer meetings, spend less time, that's going to be even more time that you're going to need to make for interviewing board counsel. So I see the concern. I think we need to look at trends. When I look at what I get from Ms. Diagresta, I meet with her and I try to identify which departments are spending her time and what can we do to educate people in those departments and help them so that they're not, you know, creating issues around litigation, because, you know, the litigation beyond the retainer is more expensive this year at this time than it was last year. But those are cases that come up before us that we can't predict. So I hear the concern. I just would caution my fellow board members to be measured. You know, you have people's ears. You seem to have the same people's ears. They see it from a purely monetary perspective. But the complexity of education law, I mean, we're even saying we want a superintendent that's very Florida knowledgeable just because of the complexities of that. And I don't think there are any local attorneys. When we did this, there were no local attorneys that had the experience that we needed on the board. But, you know, it is what the board corporate decides. I would caution you from jumping too quickly on this, understanding the pressure that you're under from the folks that voted you into office. But I would caution you.
I just give it to you from my point of view, a little bit of a more historic. This goes back to maybe more of, again, I was hearing the same people when I got on the board. As you, most of you probably know, my wife's an attorney here in town. As such, I know just about all the attorneys. I'm also hearing from them. And this goes back to a conversation I used to have with Larry Brown. Larry preceded Mr. Gressa, same firm. And Larry and I used to tell him, it was just, you know, there was, you know, you were going to pay significant, you know, some pretty decent dollars for especially the kind of services we need. You're going to pay some dollars. And my big beef that it then, as it is now, is it not deep, but those dollars were leaving our county. And I kept saying, Larry, damn it, if you lived here in Bureau, I would be your biggest cheerleader. And he goes, I know, Matt, but he said, I ain't moving to Bureau. So, you know, that's, I had, you know, blah, blah, blah. He says, I can't move. And that kind of, but I couldn't do anything about it at the time. We had the anyway, couldn't make the board. Jeff Pegger was elected. Then I knew I had enough juice to try to at least bring this to the forefront. I went and met with Dr. Adams. But by that time, Dr. Okava was gone and Dr. Adams was here. I met with her. And I, again, the same thing as you do, I talked to Suzanne. And I said, Suzanne, if you lived here, you know, whatever. But I said, I know too many people here in town, and you know, and there's a concern that we're spending those dollars out of county. So I was the, you know, since then we had Pegler, now we had three people who wanted to look at it, who had not looked at it before. So we looked at it. We went through kind of what we're doing with superintendents. We had binder upon binder. Judy spent, we had binders of real estate law, binders of this law, binders of that, binders of this, blah, 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 blah. We went through a whole dog and pony show here. We interviewed people for, you know, who had different specialties. You come to a couple of conclusions, and against all public knowledge, so I'll use names. Jay Snowden was here. Jason's not only a friend of mine, he works over there with, you know, Fennell and the rest of those rednecks. And really great guy. And he has a lot of experience with county governments. Way over in Tampa, that's what he did. Zero experience with schools. And he even told me, and he told me outside that. He goes, yeah, that's going to be a problem. He says, we didn't have anybody who applied who came without any knowledge of schools. But again, I was willing to go into there and say, listen, Jason, he's backing up. He's got great, that firm's one of the biggest firms in town. They've got great resources. I think, Jason, well, the rest of the board ended up, you know, saying, look, we're happy with where we are. Here's where we are. We've looked at that contract. We've gone from straight hourly rates to a retainer, to a retainer plus. Again, I just kind of want to give you her perspective that, God, this is nothing. It's the same tune, different verse. I'm not saying we shouldn't pursue it. I did ask one of the people who interviewed. They tried to do their due diligence in terms of how many hours it would be, blah, 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 blah. One of the firms who was there, who will remain nameless, was not then, but is now Kleinmann, the firms. I know the folks very well. And I asked them one time, again, I know what my wife charges, I know what everybody charges per hour. And I asked them, I said, had you gotten it, would you have saved this money? And he goes, oh, hell no. He says, well, you know, we're charging, and all the charges, $325 an hour, and it would have been straight hourly billing. That was just one opinion from one law firm. I came out of that whole process thinking one thing. We would not have been able to find better local representation. Okay? And that is partly respect for the experience Mr. Gresten brings, and partly a lack of at least people who interviewed, the lack of school district, you know, law. I think we could have found. Could we have found adequate? Maybe. I'm just saying we couldn't have found better. Number two, I don't think we would have saved any money. However, the money was saved here. And those are the kind of two big takeaways I have of it. As you talk to other people around the state, other districts, and other school board members, all the districts are different. You know, we used to get hammered because, was it Martin or some of the other districts, we were spending so much more. Well, a lot of it was how they were segregating costs. They were taking a lot of the times that the school board attorney was spending on, well, of course, I think they had an attorney on staff at one point. They had an attorney on staff and never had to deal with HR because their legal fees for HR all were funneled to the HR department. You see what I'm saying? There are a couple of different things out there. Our district's small enough that we rely on our school board attorney to do a multitude of different things. Bigger districts can have people like that on staff to handle some of those things. I'm not trying to talk you out of it, Mr. Searcy, at all. I'll talk you out of anything. I don't know. You just brought it up. I know. I'm just telling you from a historical perspective what I've kind of found. There are some districts who are a little bit bigger than us who tag team it. Meaning they have an in-house attorney who is the superintendent's attorney, not the school board attorney, the superintendent's attorney. And they handle the day-to-day legal things that come up. Then they have separate legal counsel who is the school board's attorney. Whether you can get any cost savings, legal in-house attorneys get expensive because of the lack of resources, you know, legal library and things like that. I just, from knowing that profession. Anyway, I'm just trying to give you perspective. This is what we found out last time we went through this whole thing.
At this juncture, we don't know. We don't know if there's good legal counsel around our community, or not necessarily in our community, but maybe in surrounding communities. That's number one. But what I see about this is this board has known for 3 years that this contract is coming up now, and we haven't addressed it. So I don't want to say that we're pushing this thing, but we've known, or the district, or the board should have known that it's coming up, and we've really not done anything to look and see if we've done our due diligence to see if indeed this is the right money. And I told Mr. Gresta up front, I don't have any problem with her representation. She's a Gator, she has to be good. But, you know, we need to let our folks in the community know that we're looking out for them. We're trying to save money where we can. We bid the contract, and she won the contract, or the firm won the contract again. But time is of the essence. If we're going to do anything, and we're not making decisions here today,
absolutely.
But if we were, going to make a decision, it might need to be an item coming on the agenda tonight that we were going to possibly extend the contract for 6 months or whatever, give us time to do some negotiating.
And the only thing I'll answer is we did this. I mean, only
when?
It was like a year ago. How old is it?
No. This would have been whenever that contract
started.
3 years
ago. Three years ago.
Okay. Coming up on the third year.
I mean, you know.
Maybe she's not making enough. don't quote me on that.
You know, I. Number one, I know we get out of contract within 30 days.
That even if it extends for a year.
Yes, it's without clause.
Yes.
I've heard them say
without
that.
Clause. Excuse me.
We can get out of the contract within 30 days.
Would you like Suzanne to respond to that as well?
Sure. It's
her contract, right?
You
hear it from
it's
her.
It's an odd.
It's a
30-day contract. It's a 30-day contract. I would equate it to the superintendent's contract. I know it's a rolling 3-year. Mm-hmm. The superintendent's contract is a 20-week contract. Honestly, her payout is 20 weeks in that agreement. Once the law changed, it's a 20-week contract. So that I would equate it to that. Legal services, it's a 30-day contract.
John.
Can I? Oh, I haven't weighed in, but go ahead.
Yep.
We're going to take money out of this from giving my opinion. I know you said this too, not a problem with services, but I've been a legislator before. Regardless of where I'm a legislator, I wish I could say equal value, but if I don't feel legally safe, everything else is moot to me. And I, first of all, have no desire to change persons. That's just because of our safety net. Do you want to pay on the front and the back end? But I know about this cost analysis. So the reason it hasn't come up is because status quo felt happy with it. That's the bottom line, really, Charlie. So I just wanted to say that. But I understand what you're trying to do. I've gotten, you know, people ask as well. It's not that I'm opposed. It is a 30, without cause, it's called. So I feel safe in that. I don't feel safe in exploring at it at this time because of this. This is, I'm new. You guys are newer, but what do they call it? Your retread? Retreads are okay. But I'm just saying, I'm not comfortable with it now. That's all I really want to say is I'm not comfortable with that now because I know we have the without cause clause. I'm happy with her services, and I feel that based on it, I don't feel in administration and or attorneys, 3 years is a long time ago. If you told me it was 10 years ago, I would say, yeah, 3 years is within that window of pretty much. But it's good that you brought it up. It's out there in the, it's out there. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but I
was. She knows that, by the way.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Sure. Again, I also don't have any issues with service or performance, and this next question is going to be somewhat weird, but with whom does her firm negotiate? Is it Dr. Adams, or would it be the chairman?
Of River County.
Okay, so that would be the chairman.
Historically, the last time the agreement was negotiated was with the chairman of the school board. The school board had that discussion and asked the chairman to sit down, and I think other board members as well provided comments during a public meeting of concepts that they liked to see changed or tweaked or whatever. And I sat. It was Mr. Pegler at that time, and he and I. He was a lawyer, but he and I worked up some different language for the board to consider and it was approved.
Yeah, Jeff did that for us last night, so we thought he was best qualified to do it.
Okay.
If there are terms of the contract, the board would like to see change.
That's what I was thinking. We might
Everything's open to negotiation at any time.
But time is of the essence if we're going to make some changes. That's my opinion. Anyway.
You can make a change at any time. Mm-hmm. If both parties are willing to talk about it, they make a change at any time. And if one party wants to negotiate and the other party refuses to and you have a 30-day out clause, guess what the party who doesn't want to negotiate is going to find happening?
What's the penalty for 30-day out? Is there a penalty? Like if you terminate somebody that has a contract, even though it's no cause, you terminate their contract, and normally there's some kind of big payout.
Lawyers don't get a big payout. I wish I had that, but I don't.
But
no, sir.
But lawyer to lawyer, this was a lawyer agreed to this lawyer. I'm just
talk. That's a good point.
Tegeler's not here to defend himself. Yeah.
Okay. Who else? Mr. Jimenez, did you have anything else?
No, not at all.
I'm sorry. We just, I apologize.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Ms. Simchek, anything?
No.
Cross.
Is this where we talk committee stuff?
Well, as soon as we know anybody doesn't want to vote.
I do have one thing.
Okay, Dr. Adams. Yep.
Actually, I need to bring Carter in. It's regarding buses.
Okay.
So he's got Scott Sanders here, so I'd like to.
Okay, go ahead. Let's do that, and we'll do committee reports real quick.
Thank you.
Okay, committee reports. Anybody got anything? Cross?
The only thing, EDC didn't meet, I guess on the heels of the big consultant thing, and the only other committee. I said is the Inyo County Planning and Zoning non-voting liaison. They had their meeting. They had a special call meeting for a retirement center that's going to go in between 6th Avenue and US 1, 80 units. Really doesn't affect the school district too much other than to provide a little bit to our tax base. And that's. I went to the PTA thing, and it seems like it'd be great if we had more folks involved with the PTA. But it was a pretty small crowd with a great presentation. So that's your
part. People won't come to the PTA meeting, but they'll stand in line for hours at Walmart on Black Friday. Mr. Searcy, you have a.
No, I was in the same meeting he did, and we did sit far apart, so it wasn't my last meeting. But do we give any money at all to the county council PTAs?
I have no idea.
No.
I don't think you do.
Disgrace is probably not the right word, but that was pitiful. They had the whole auditorium at Sebastian River High School up there, and I bet there probably were maybe 10 people there, including 3 board members.
Mr. Searcy, it's been like that for years. But when Karen was president, and we were involved, it was very difficult to get all of the PTA. Unfortunately, I mean, they could, if people came out, they could be a voice to be reckoned with around any issues that parents are interested in. But it's, my kid is 22 now. So 10, 15 years ago, we were involved, and it was still the same thing.
I just want to say, what brought me there was not only, I'm a member of the Sebastian High School PTA, but I got a notice from that. All of us got a notice, just the members. Then the principal, Todd Racine, sent out, and there were 6 members in the audience, and 3 of us were parents, and you know, I mean, the notice is getting out there, the people aren't coming, and that was free.
They didn't mention food, though.
That was it. That was the problem.
Yeah, I have just short. I went to the Juvenile Justice Council meeting, and they shared some of the data about the school-related arrests, and they said that statistically we're doing a lot better, but unfortunately we mostly hear the negatives about our youth in the media. And they did talk a little bit about the restorative justice circles that are going on at Gifford Middle School, and it might be at Oslo.
And Oslo.
And it might be interesting for the board to get some feedback at some point about what's going on with the piloting of the restorative justice program in some of our schools. But it was a good meeting.
Not a committee, but Sebastian City Council did pass that RV park directly across 2 ways. I'll probably be asking Mr. Sanders to help me out when those site plans come through as the liaison, because it's RV park cut through by Fleming and across that they're going to allow golf carts. There is no turn in the preliminary. There was no turning lane, which there was for the townhouses. No turning lane, no provision. So obviously it's not a site plan, but the supposed site plan had storage where people could put their garage, their cars, and mini storage units, and wherever the golf carts, and a tennis court. Having their driveway come directly across from the exiting driveway of the buses from Sebastian Charter Junior High. So I'll keep you posted when the site plans come through. I will call you and ask if you could look at them with me, so we can make our appropriate comments. So.
All right, Dr. Adams.
Okay. Scott, would you introduce our guest and then kind of talk about the topic?
I will. This is Richard Trammell. He works in transportation. He is our expert witness today. And one of the things that facilities have been working with transportation on is the bus parking scenario we have currently at Sebastian River Middle School. I don't know if you've been up there and we've got some pictures. We can take a look at what things look like. But currently, the buses are for North County are staged at Sebastian River Middle School during the day. A few issues with that are that the buses don't have an improved area to park on. They are overflowing the area that is available. This is an aerial that you can see the overall school and obviously the long white ski line to the bus stops. But as you can see, we've overflowed the available spots that aren't adequate to begin with. And now we're parking at much less adequate areas. The dark area that you see where the two buses are parked down low, the reason that's dark is because it's low. It's wet. The buses have been getting stuck. The drivers have been maneuvering out of the mud, both walking and driving. The area is currently not enclosed by a fence. It's not protected. We've had some vandalization going on. We've had conflict between parking at student events in the gym, between buses and parents and student pedestrian traffic. Mr. Trammell might want to add to some of that. I'm sure there's other things going on besides what I've named.
Yes, we actually have 36 buses parked up there now. And down where you see the two buses, there are actually five buses parked there. And like Scott says, every time it rains, it floods. And our buses get stuck and we have to go pull them out. Our drivers, they park behind the big roller buses. And it's really muddy, and there's a ditch, and it's really muddy, and we have to pull their cars out. And when they get out of their cars, they have to walk in mud and stuff. And security, there is no security there. We've had buses during one spring break. They got in there and shut off all the fire extinguishers, and we had to spend the weekend cleaning the buses out. And then another time they went in there, and they took oranges and grapefruit and busted out about 12 windshields. So we had to replace 12 windshields. And I've been up there at 5 o'clock in the morning, and there are actually wild hogs in between those buses and stuff.
All right, get on.
Hey, come to my backyard. I have 3,000 acres behind my house.
I can bring your trap over there.
Could you imagine a driver walking in between those buses and come up on a wild hog?
And I can see where it would be a problem with parents parking because the gymnasium is right in the back.
Right.
So any activities that are going on in the gymnasium.
Right. The other night they had a basketball game there, and the parents got in there before we could get done with our routes, mm-hmm. and our drivers couldn't even find a place to park their buses.
And speaking of driver parking, too, it doesn't show here because they're obviously not there, but the drivers park their personal vehicles behind the buses, which, yeah. again, you can see that the grass is going away, and when it rains, it turns muddy and turns into a lot of problems.
And backs right up to a residential area.
Right, and they have been complaining for years. At 5 o'clock in the morning, we crank all those buses up, and all those lights come on, all those strobe lights. We've had complaints from them.
How long has that school been there?
Yeah, a little longer than those
longer
houses.
I went right. there for 7th grade. That
right.
I'll tell you.
Well,
isn't that a security house right there?
Yes.
At the bottom right-hand corner?
Yes, it is.
Do they, I mean, you said they're having all this vandalism. Are they doing their job? Do we need to move them out? Do we need to get new security?
Yes.
I'm not going to
short answer.
And part of it is just access. I mean, you can go between 36 buses pretty easy and do some things without being seen. You can come right off that residential area. There's no fencing. Oh, there was. You said there was a barbed wire fence.
There's a barbed wire fence.
There's a barbed wire
fence.
What are you looking at doing?
That's not much of a deterrent.
Not what are you looking to do?
Ma'am.
What are you looking to do to rectify it?
Yeah.
So you want to skip forward? This is a close-up of the buses themselves.
And another thing about security, in today's day and time, too, these buses are sitting out in the middle of nowhere, and anybody could get on them buses and tamper with them, you know.
Who decided to put them there?
Oh, they've been parked there for the last 15 years, 15, 20 years. We started out with two or three. and now it's multiplied into 38.
And it's just because of the growth of the school.
Right, you know, the growth of the area.
Well, it was a cost-saving measure, not right. Having to drive them from Bureau all the time.
Right,
oh, yeah.
Right.
I mean, originally we talked about having another compound behind what is now Treasure Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't think that was cost-effective. I don't remember why.
It was not cost-effective.
Yeah.
There was a lot of development to take place. That was an unimproved one-time growth. So a lot of fill would have to be removed, fill brought in, drainage, asphalt, the whole nine yards. So to answer your question, what do we propose doing?
I will.
As you're talking.
What we're looking at is Sebastian River High School. This is the one-time driver's education course that the students learn to drive on. It's currently completely fenced. You can kind of see the line here. It's a fenced in what could be defined as a compound. We have right here a construction road that was built for the construction of the Freshman Learning Center, the W Wing. The traffic was coming in and accessing this way, so we didn't have conflict between the buses, between the students, and between the staff park. So this lends itself to an easily convertible bus compound for North County. I don't know exactly how far it is. You might know, Richard, from the difference in distance from the high school to the middle school. It's a mile?
Yeah. A mile, maybe.
It's a mile.
If that.
So we're still getting the same savings on gas, not having the longer trip.
Well, actually, if you look up there when the buses are leaving to go on their routes in the afternoon, they're all leaving Sebastian Middle School, and they're going directly to Sebastian High School. So if they were parked there at Sebastian High School, they're there.
Because you pick up the high school kids first.
Right.
Yeah.
So this lent itself to a pretty easy project and a pretty quick project to allow buses to park on a fenced-in compound that's secured, unimproved asphalt parking lot, so we don't have the traffic issues, and then we have plenty of parking right along here for the drivers to park their personal vehicles. The one issue that we really pay special attention to, and you can see it shown on your drawing there, if we go to the next one, it's on this slide as well.
Excuse me, can I just get my bearings? This is
that's
a 510.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
And would this be the north, the most north part of the school?
Right, that's where the bus is.
North is to the right, the way you have it held.
Mm-hmm. The building there is the ROTC building.
That's upside down.
This is 510.
Right. That's 510. But it has already turned. The turn 510 turned north right there. So you intersect 512 up here. So this is north.
You know where the security trailer is?
The main entrance to the school is right here.
That's what I want to know. Okay. Yeah. No. Well, I guess. That's north.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so this would be west. This is the most north and the first entrance to the school, as is.
Right.
If you're headed
north. Heading south.
If you're heading south, this is the first.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Got it.
Just let me see what
side of the street
Moss is on.
This is where all the buses pull up to pick up the kids in the back.
Correct. So, What I've tried to show here is in yellow, this is the thing that we're looking at the most, is this is a student pedestrian jaywalking area, if you will. We do have an improved crosswalk. It doesn't show here. It's relatively new. We striped this. We added a stop sign. We put speed bumps to try to control traffic. Students leaving the school are encouraged to follow the sidewalk, to protect the crosswalk, and then the sidewalk into the ROTC building. But anyone that's ever designed sidewalks knows that the path of least resistance is a straight line. So this area that's hatched is, if you were to go out there and watch it, that's where the students walk across the parking lot. That's where they go. So we wanted to avoid having the buses that were going to be parking here from interfering with that student pedestrian traffic. So that's what this blue hatched area represents, is our proposed driveway. Now, this is a cartoon at best. This is some drawings that I did in just a little bit of time. So I don't have a survey. I don't know exactly how it ties in, but this is a representation of trying to what would happen. Further down here, you get really, really close to 510, and the ingress-egress starts conflicting. That's why I moved it down. But nonetheless, an engineer would tell us exactly how that would tie in, exactly how it would go. But the idea is that you would have a separate driveway that the buses use and nothing else. Buses are coming in and out. This is wide enough to accommodate two-way traffic. Gate here, these light areas that you see drawn off are proposed bus stalls. And then the one thing that we did try to make sure of is that ROTC currently uses this area for their drills and some of their competitions, and they host an event there every year. So to maintain separation between those students and our buses and still allow them to use an area, the light gray line here and coming across here is a fence with a gate so that this area is completely secure and separated from student activities and from buses. It's currently drawn with 14 and 20, which of course is 34, but we do have room to add two more to accommodate all 36 buses that currently park at Sebastian River Middle School. Any questions?
So where would they park their personal vehicles?
These 18 spaces, and there's 18 more spaces up here.
Thank you.
It is used by staff right now.
That's a question. How does Mr. Racine's team feel about that?
He agrees to it. We talked to him, and he has no problem moving those cars over. He said they got ample parking in the other lots.
Right. We also talked to Chief Master Gunner Sergeant
O'Neill.
So
what's cost? We'll come to that in a minute.
Okay. My question was, you're doing this for the specific number of buses that you currently have. There's no room for growth, so to speak. Do you foresee that at some point you're going to get that additional bus, and then what do? Or is that a non-issue?
Well, it's not a non-issue. There are other thoughts. Treasure Coast would have to come back into the discussion. We looked at the area behind the what is now the new healthcare clinic, directly adjacent to where we park now. Ms. Chestnut talked about using that potentially as a future fueling station, additional parking for buses. So it's not a non-issue.
Does that slide come down farther?
Yeah.
But you see what I'm getting at? If we do that, and if we need more
space. I'm not sure how fast South North County is growing right now. I know one time. If you see up on top, that they have a shed or something built up there. And didn't they say that they would be willing to move that shed if we ever had to move or something?
The shed he's talking about, there's some agricultural buildings that aren't really used for anything now. Uh-huh. They were at one time used for
aquaculture.
You're right, it was aquaculture. They're not really using them right now, so Mr. Racine said, if you need additional area, you can take those buildings. So this is expandable in that direction, which is west. We could make it bigger. But I didn't lay that out. I'm going to guess we might accommodate six more buses, just to be fair. We could get some more in there, but it wouldn't be a tremendous amount.
How much land do you have up there that's available on the west of that parking lot?
Didn't bring that
ballpark.
Didn't bring that aerial. I'm going to guess we can pick up, without impacting other buildings that they actually do use, we're going to pick up another 50 feet.
We have like 80 acres up there. I think it might be
more than that.
Total.
We can pick up a lot of area, but we're impacting buildings that they're using right now. They're not big classroom buildings, but they're kind of like head sheds, equipment sheds that they're using.
But they would potentially be movable at some point in the future.
They would be movable.
If you pick up those sheds, I mean those outdoor buildings, does that include the 50 feet?
If we started, there's two buildings we could lose right away. The aquaculture building would go away without much of an impact.
That would be the 50 feet.
If we went further than that, we've got some more permanent-ish. And then we start getting into practice fields. We could look into that and see how much there is available there.
Well, I think it's for the future.
But I think the point is, that we're not impacting like a permanent classroom building. They're permanent structures, but they're not sturdy. They're like a tent shape.
To answer your question, Mr. Searson, cost?
Go ahead.
When we, on December 9th, the board approved the budget amendment to the capital budget on consent. You can see there we had over $672,000 that we were reallocating. And those funds became available last year when the school board, we wrapped up the 2007 COP. We had funds left in the project fund, and we used it to pay down our interest. And that freed up some $1.5 million funds that now became available. However, during the meltdown of the SBA in 2008, those funds were frozen. And they have now become available because the market has rebounded, so we reallocated those dollars. At the time, we were thinking that we would be spending about $100,000, and you can see the fourth line down, placeholder funding for site work to relocate 34 school buses from Sebastian River Middle to Sebastian River High School ROTC compound. We were just putting some placeholders in the budget. At the time, we were thinking $100,000 because we were thinking of a road at that time. Once we started investigating and looking closely and talking with the school and working with the principal and Master Gunnery Sergeant, some of the issues regarding student safety came up, and we wanted to make sure that we avoided any congestion of traffic or obviously safety issues there. So, which is why we're thinking now $200,000, give or take, would do this project. $100,000 was allocated to that specific project, where you have $150,000 for the Vero Beach High School Flick Chiller project. The Flick Chiller is on the school board agenda tonight for approval. The Vero Beach High School chiller, we have put that under performance contracting, so we could reallocate some dollars from the Vero Beach High School chiller to help fund this project.
But the cost is $200,000.
That's kind of what we're thinking right now until we get the bids back and so forth.
What if it weren't for the road? Because I looked at it and I thought, well, the only cost is the road.
We're going to have to do lighting.
How would it cost $100,000 without the road?
We need lights. We need lights also.
Lighting.
Park for security parking lot over at Vero Beach High School. I'm telling you, they have lighting.
That's pretty good. Any other questions?
We can't put on proof.
So then the chiller is about $40,000 that's on the budget today, so the difference is what would be allocated.
The chiller is $431,000, and then the engineering was $43,000.
Okay.
You're
saying that you have $150,000 for the...
If it's $400,000,
where's their extra money then?
Right. We had funds in the chiller replacement project. If you look in the budget book, Project 431, we started the year with about $860,000-something, and we were trying to fund up both projects so we could bid them both at the same time. So that was just extra dollars that we were reallocating to see if we could do both the Vero Beach High School chiller and the Flick chiller together. But we moved that out under performance contracting, so we're only going to be doing tonight, we're asking for approval tonight for the Flick chiller, and use the funds that we reallocated for the Vero Beach High School chiller for this project.
And how much is that for Vero Beach High School?
That one is under performance contracting. We haven't gotten the final numbers yet.
So you're getting consensus to see if you should go out to bid for this?
If we can move forward with this, we feel...
Have you gone out to bid for it yet?
No.
And the thing is, do you think you would do this in the summer when school's out? Okay.
Yes, we would.
Thanks.
If we got consensus, we would hire an engineer. Initially, we didn't need an engineer because we were going to do some fencing, we were going to do some lighting, we were going to do some striping. We can do that without. But when we're adding this road, we're adding impervious area, potentially drainage. So we have to get an engineer involved to give us a design. And a project this seemingly simple, take a little bit of survey, a little bit of design, we should be able to bid and build over the summer. Mm-hmm. Bid before the summer, build over the summer.
But those engineering costs are not included in this number you're talking about now.
They are. That's a project dollars.
The whole should match, yes.
Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay.
So that's all I have.
Anything else?
No.
Okay. All right. If, unless anybody's got something else, I think we'll stand adjourned until 6 o'clock. All right. Everybody's clear how we'll work the power along thing?
Yes.
Okay.